much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning, colleagues, co-workers, friends. Everyone feeling normal today?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Where's the emergency?
I don't know.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
Okay, you called 911. Are you having a problem with just the business?
I don't know.
Is there somebody in the store there?
I don't know.
Are you inside the store?
I don't know.
Can you answer anything, sir?
I don't know.
Do people not use sentences anymore?
I'm not.
Do me a favor, okay? Pick a number between 1 and 10.
7.
Wrong. The answer was genocide.
Okay.
So now you're the statistic.
Our feature presentation.
Here's Williams across the line to Kopitar. Right side, Voinov shoots, he scores! Kings win in overtime! And the Kings have taken the lead in the series with one game left in Los Angeles Friday night. Voinov from the right side, 8 minutes into overtime. And the Kings win 3-2 and take the lead in the series.
All right, that's good times right there.
Yeah, what's up?
That is good times.
Yep, Kings win, Ducks win. Both lead 3-2.
Yeah.
If both of them win the series, they play each other.
And then the world explodes or what?
Most
what happens
likely.
If they play each other?
Most likely, yes.
I assume they've never played each other in the playoffs before.
I don't have the answer to that, although I don't think so.
I mean, I can't remember when they've both been around a long time. I
right,
don't know. We'll have to look into that. But
the Kings haven't exactly been mainstays in the playoffs.
They haven't been regulars, that's for sure. How do you like this? I know you dislike the Ducks on principle, but how is this Ducks team this year, Kevin?
Great.
Yeah.
They're great.
So
bastards.
So it's going to be a good series. If they both make it to there, it's a tough one to call then.
I would love to play the Ducks and beat them.
Yes.
I'm sure you would.
However, I don't want them to beat us, so then what do you do?
Well, that's the problem with the way sports works, is somebody wins, somebody loses.
Yep.
So, well, congratulations to fans of both teams. That's awesome.
Good times. It's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 9th of May.
Kevin, I know you hate the old people, but I think even you are going to have some sympathy for this particular old people, because his name is Justin Ambrosia. He is 90. By the way, we've worked out that Kevin's definition of old people is anyone who's 1 year older than him. So he always has somebody he can look down on for
I'd
being too old.
I'd say anyone that's 10 years older than me.
Oh, 10? Is it 10 now?
But you know what? There are a lot of people who are like 10 years older than me that are perfectly fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great drivers, everything else. But then they're the bad ones. They're the bad eggs.
The percentage starts to drop.
It does, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that may be Mr. Ambrosia that we're talking about here. He lives in, does he live in Florida? He sure does. He lives in Newport Richey, Florida.
How about that?
He goes to the supermarket the other day and he falls, as 90-year-old people sometimes do. There was something on the floor that he tripped on. He said he grabbed for the shelf. The shelf let loose. He went to the floor and ended up breaking his arm and his hip. Now, I don't know if he wasn't aware how serious his injuries were or not, but he did not ask anyone to call the doctor for him, which sounds like what you ought to do at that point. The grocery store helped the man up, helped him out the front door to his car, and he drove himself home. When he got home, however, I guess it started to hurt a whole lot because he was unable to get out of the car. He was in his garage, ladies and gentlemen, for 4 days.
No. Oh, that's so sad.
It's so sad.
And I'm guessing that dude doesn't have a cell phone. That's not exactly the cell phone group.
No. No, it's not. He lives by himself. He is 90. He was in his garage in pain with a broken arm and a broken hip, blowing the horn, yelling. No one heard his cries for help. Now, he would have died there, but fortunately, at least he's one of these old people who has neighbors who keep an eye out for him. maybe not as often as they should because he was in the garage for 4 days. But eventually, a neighbor who checks on him came over to see, you know, hey, I hadn't seen him around in a few days. What's up? And found him in the garage and called 911. Obviously, he took him to the hospital. He's recovering. He's going to be fine. If there's any other good news besides the fact that we're all now picturing a 90-year-old who had to poop himself, obviously.
Yeah,
that hadn't occurred to you yet?
Come on, no.
What do you think he was going to do?
I just was picturing him in there trying to get out. Well, he wasn't eating, so that couldn't have been a huge deal.
Well, he was eating because he needed something to eat to, you know, survive, I guess, or at least thought he did. But he, fortunately, had just come from the supermarket.
So
he had food in the car. He has groceries on the front seat of the car, and he was able to eat cake, cookies, and empty ice cream cones. This guy eats like you will eat at 90, at least.
That's great. You gotta live, man.
Thank God he came back from the grocery store, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So cake, cookies, and ice cream cones is what he had there in the car. Doesn't say if there was any other food that he could readily munch on. But 4 days in the car must have thought, I mean, you must go through all the ranges of emotions. At first you think, well, this sucks, but I'll be able to get out at some point.
Right, of course.
You got to figure out, it hurts, but in an hour I'll try again, you know? And then when it gets to be the next day, you got to be thinking, well, maybe the neighbor will come over. And then at some point the day after that, you think, well, I am going to die here. Now what? I just can't even imagine what goes through your mind.
And they don't say if the garage door was closed, right? I mean, that would make it much harder to see him.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But fortunately, he is fine and is in the hospital. And at this point, is not giving interviews.
According to his neighbor,
don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Sure.
They definitely are.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, you don't get it. Do you? People don't like you.
That guy, by the way, snatched himself right out of Bean's Death Corner.
He sure did.
Are we disappointed, Bean?
He was in Bean's Death Corner. He was in the queue for Bean's Death Corner immediately. And then took himself right out.
If he could have just lasted another day before that neighbor came over, I could have had him.
On the program today, we have Mark Maron in the studio.
Oh, I love Mark so much. And his new show is funny.
It's very good. Yep. We have Dr. Drew on the program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know the trial that he has been covering for, I think, about 14 years. They actually had a verdict yesterday.
I think 2 months it's been going on, and I watched a little bit of the doctor last night with his panel, and he was hyperventilating with excitement.
Yeah, he was, and also getting a lot of hate.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What, for covering it so much?
Nope, not for covering it so much, but he said we'll talk to him about it, but he said he feels sorry for the bipolar condition that this woman apparently had.
Oh, I see.
Although he's happy she was found guilty, he's has some any empathy for her for any reason, and then everybody started attacking.
Gotcha.
Dan Bova will be on the program today. We might disown him forever if
the rumors are true.
Maxim Hot 100. Yeah, and rumors are true, and the number one is the number one. We're just going to have to move right on. Comedian Eddie Ift will be on the program. We've got a brand new internet roundup, My Strange Addiction, and your chance to win K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets and backstage passes, which we're going to give you for the early listeners in about a half hour just after 6 a.m. So keep listening for that. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
If you don't want to go to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, then don't call right now. Do not pick up the phone and call 1-800-520-1067 if you don't want to go. However, if you do, this might be a good time to get in. We're giving away a pair of tickets. We're going to play a game that we like to call Total Recall, coming up right after the top of the hour. We're looking for contestants right now. So pick up the phone and call K-Rock, and we'll get right to you. Or we'll get right back to you, as Kevin likes to explain.
Sure. That'll happen. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph's out for a couple of days, so we are taking over. You know, we were talking about the wedding of Mama June and Sugar Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wedding of the century.
Wedding of the century, right. And I don't know if you saw the outfits that they were wearing.
Camouflage, right?
They were described as camouflage, but you look at them and there's an element of camouflage to it.
Yeah.
But it literally looks like a designer just threw up all over them. I mean, it is unbelievable. And we were also making fun of what the food must have been. Because we know what they're like.
Yes.
It had to be scatty, right? They had to serve scatty.
They roasted an entire pig at the reception.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
They served corn on the cob, macaroni and cheese, baked beans, sweet tea, and treated guests to a gourmet candy bar for dessert.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome.
Men that came to the wedding were given as favors hunting knives. You want to hand that group hunting knives?
Oh, my God.
Really?
No, because they already have them.
Well, that's probably true, too. Let's throw out their old ones. I'm sure we'll see that episode soon.
I'm surprised that they served corn on the cob. Isn't that dangerously close to a fruit or vegetable? I thought that family was allergic to anything that might be good for
them. I don't know. That's a good question.
Although you put enough butter on it, I guess even corn on the cob could be tasty, right, for them? I don't know about you guys, but I often prepare myself for the worst-case scenario in life. And I look around and I go, what do I have that I can sell in the event that I get really, really broke? Do you guys do that? Do you ever think, well, at least I've got this. At least if I lose my job and I really need to pay the rent, at least I can sell this because this is worth something.
Not very often.
I don't have anything like that to sell.
You have nothing in your house that's valuable. Not a piece of jewelry that would get you through for a month. Nothing.
Lisa could sell.
Well, yeah, Lisa does have something to sell. That's
services.
That, under the covers, right. Well, I started thinking about this because Madonna, who, let's face it, is fabulously wealthy and will never have to worry about this, decided that she wanted to raise a little extra money to give away to the Ray of Light Foundation. You know, she's very much into girls' education around the world. She built that school in Mulawe. That's her charity. She likes to help girls who otherwise wouldn't have an education. So she wanted to sell something and donate the profits to that.
Mm-hmm.
So she took a painting that she owned by someone I've never heard of named Fernand Léger.
Oh, Léger does good work.
Oh, does he? No, I should have figured you'd know.
I don't.
She sold it for $7.2 million is how much that painting that was just around her house went for.
Wow.
And I bet she's got lots of things around her house. Oh, that's worth $4 million. That's worth $2 million. That's worth $11 million. Isn't that just amazing to think that you could own a painting that is worth $7 million?
And she only paid $2 million. That's the thing.
That's funny because all of us could sell our houses, those of us that own houses, and couldn't come up with anywhere near that much money. And she just found something on the wall.
Just something on the wall, yeah. It was probably in a closet. Oh, you know what? I got that thing in that the top shelf of that closet in the back bedroom that we never use.
No, we never even put that up.
It's just crazy money, but for a good cause, so, you know, more power to her.
Mike Walker from the National Enquirer is talking about Justin Bieber and how he finally realizes that maybe he needs to step up his game for Selena Gomez.
Yeah, now, doesn't it appear like maybe they're kind of back together now? We've seen a couple of articles.
But everything you know about Bieber, don't you just go, no one would put up with that?
Yeah.
Not for long.
I believe she could do better, I'll tell you that.
Justin Bieber, says he has a three-step plan to get back in her good graces. Apparently, for her birthday, he wants to surprise her. She's just turning 21 with a $1 million piece of jewelry.
Which is more about, hey, look at me, than giving her something she wants, right?
Rent a private jet.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can celebrate wherever her little heart desires, and he's busy writing her a song. And I would like to suggest, instead of all of that, stop being a douchebag. It would cost you a lot less, and she would probably be happier.
I think that is excellent advice. Today's celebrity birthday is maybe one of the most successful producers in the history of television. Going back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, he did the Taxi series. He produces The Simpsons. He's a great writer and director, and his name is James L. Brooks. And he is 76 years old today. To lead off our celebrity birthdays, the great actress Candice Bergen turns 67. Billy Joel is 64. Our friend Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode turns 51 today. And he's in that category of guys who are former heroin addicts who look fantastic.
Yep.
Like, I need to start doing the horse just so I can look as good as Dave Gahan one day.
I would pay any amount of money to see you do that. That would be so great.
Audrina Patridge from The Hills is 28 years old today. Rocker Andrew W.K. turns 34. The beautiful actress Rosario Dawson, probably best known for Sin City, is 34 years old today. She's in theaters right now with that trance movie that's out. And from the Wu-Tang Clan, Ghostface Killah, he is 43, and that's your showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show of Monsters and Men, one of the bands playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. We have your tickets and backstage passes right now.
Pretty sweet. We're looking for contestants at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them this morning, though, with a game we call Total Recall.
That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the Key Rock Weenie Rose 2013. Oh, yeah. Total Recall. Tickets to Weenie Roast. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with Omar? What's he smoking down there? Do we know?
Isn't he smoking?
I have my suspicions, and I'm just upset that he's not sharing.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the way this game is played. It's called Total Recall. It's really quite simple, except it's not, because when you only have 10 seconds on the clock and you're on the phone, on the radio, and there are Weenie Rose tickets on the line, there's a lot of pressure involved. But I'm going to give you a category and just ask you to name five things in that category. That's it. All you have to do is come up with five things in the category in 10 seconds, and you go into the drawing to win the tickets at the end. Depending on how many contestants made it through, Lisa will decide who gets to go.
All right, let's start with Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's up?
You ready for Total Recall?
Yes.
All right. I know it's early in the morning and it's tough to get that brain working, but 10 seconds on the clock, Ben. I want you to name for me five kinds of cheese. Five kinds of cheese. Good luck.
Cheddar, sharp, Gouda, Swiss, ricotta.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That. How about that?
Time to spare, even.
Mozzarella, Jack, Monterey. There's so many. You came up with five great ones. Congratulations. You are in the drawing. Well played, sir.
I would have come up with yellow.
That's it. I would have been stumped. Cheeseburgers. I got cheeseburgers.
Let's talk to Chuck, who is a physical therapist. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. I want to lick Lisa. Come on.
No, sorry.
Don't we all?
Different day.
Don't we all?
God.
All right. You heard how Ben played it like a boss. Let's see how you do. 10 seconds on the clock. I want you to come up with five current cable TV shows. Five current cable TV shows. Good luck.
Oh, brother. No,
that's not a show.
I know. I'm just happy to play. Good morning.
But you didn't play. That's the thing about that.
Do you not have cable? Is this unfair for you?
Yeah, you know, I don't really watch TV that much.
Oh, that's such a bummer, because any of the other categories you might have nailed.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry,
I expected, you know, Game of Thrones, Mad Men, Duck Dynasty, Breaking Bad, lots of great shows that I figured lots of people watch, but I guess wrong question for that contestant. Sorry, but thanks for calling.
Call us back for the licking. Let's go to Chad, a mechanic. Hi, Chad.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Chad, good luck. We're playing for K-Rock Weenie Rose tickets and backstage passes. Let's see if you go into the drawing. For you, I have this. Name me five car manufacturers, five companies that make cars. 10 seconds. Go.
Chevrolet, Toyota, Honda, Mazda, Buick, BMW.
Nicely done.
I think you're
look
in.
At that.
Congratulations. Well done, yeah.
A little slow on the digging there, Bean.
Step with up. This machine, you can't hit as fast as I would like. There's a little bit of a lag when you hit it twice in a row. Thank you very much. You are in the drawing. All right, we got time for a couple more contestants. Who's next?
Louis B. Louis B. Which is it, Louis? Louis?
Louis.
Louis. Works for the water department.
Okay.
Louis, how you been doing on hold here today?
Good.
Okay. Well, congratulations so far. Let's see how you do this time. For you, 10 seconds on the clock. Name me, please, five breeds of dogs. Five breeds of dogs. Good luck.
German Shepherd, Shih Tzu, Bulldog, Pitbull, and a Labrador.
Look at that.
Look at that. Wow, we got some great contestants here this morning.
People are rocking it.
All right, let's do one more. Let's get somebody else in the drawing.
All right, let's go to Michael, who's a payroll specialist.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Good morning, Michael. I'm sorry there's no licking of Lisa today for you either. Now I'm sad, now that the other caller brought it
maybe
up.
Maybe we can do it tomorrow.
All right. 10 seconds on the clock. I need from you five acts that are playing on the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Five acts on this year's Weenie Roast. Go.
Oh, Black Keys, Vampire Weekend, Jimmy World, Neighborhood, and Capital Cities.
Look at that!
Wow!
Quicker than anybody else. All right.
Well done. All right, so Ben is in, Chad is in, Louie is in, Michael is in, and I guess that's it. Who's our winner? Lisa, only one, unfortunately, gets the tickets this hour.
All right, let me mix them up, and the winner is Ben.
Ben, the first guy we talked to.
Yay!
Ben, congratulations.
All right, thanks, man.
Tickets, backstage passes, we'll see you a week from Saturday.
All right.
Thanks for playing.
Total Recall.
Temper Trap, also Neon Trees. A lot of scrambling going on. Council there. And the latest from 30 Seconds to Mars is all coming up, plus a brand new internet roundup in moments. And our friend Eddie F. joins us next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Kevin, you got a surprise for us.
I do. My Strange Addiction.
Oh, I love it so much. Awesome. What are we addicted to today?
Our favorite show. Nathaniel will tell you.
My name is Nathaniel. I'm 27 years old, and I'm in a serious relationship.
Serious relationship?
Handsome man. Morning, baby.
I just absolutely love Chase. We always have such a good time together. He likes a lot of the same music I do. We have a favorite song. It's Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon.
So far, so good, right?
It's he and Chase.
All right, hold on. All right, Chase. So he is in a relationship with Chase. A thing named Chase. Animal? Is it an animal or is it a thing? Is it a possession?
It's more of a thing. It's more of a not alive.
It's okay. Item. All right. Is it like a stuffed animal maybe?
Well, I'll tell you after you hear their favorite song.
Peace. Okay.
Their favorite song, by
their
the way.
Favorite song. Then I can't fight this feeling
anymore. I've forgotten what I started fighting for. Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car that he's named Chase.
All right.
Yeah! He's in love with his car.
Remember when we had these specials from the BBC that they had?
Yes. They had a guy who was in love with this. That's right.
They had a guy who was in love with this car. There's a different guy. Different car, but still a sexy car.
How's the tailpipe?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you later. How did they meet?
He met Chase in a resale lot about 5 years ago.
It was love at first sight. His body and then his interior and everything just together just seemed to fit. And I just felt an instant connection.
His body and his interior.
Okay.
Love at first sight.
Sure.
How far does this love go, Lisa, do you think?
Oh, boy.
How far?
Oh, boy. I would not want to sit in the car, let's just say.
Do you think it's a best friend relationship or?
I hope so.
I would stick to the
Maybe seats. A little more.
But Nathaniel's relationship with Chase goes beyond dates and presents.
Yep.
We have our times when we get sexual.
Oh, no.
Does that feel good? You're handsome, man. Love you, baby.
Does that feel good? There's so much of that during the whole thing. Love you, baby. You're so handsome. It's just
we
so...
We get sexual, he yep, says.
We get
By
sexual.
The way, how does he know that the car is also gay? How does he know that?
The car loves him and reciprocates being...
Okay, what
how
if the car?
Dare you?
How do you know the car is instead of there thinking, I am being molested by a dude? I don't like it. What if the car isn't gay? That's my point.
I don't have the answer to that. So your problem is that it's not a heterosexual car?
I'm just interested that he decided that the car was a male and that he's in a loving relationship with him. He doesn't know, man. This car has a lot of feelings, according to him, but he doesn't seem to bother asking what he wants.
Talking about My Strange Addiction. Just exactly how does that relationship, that sexual relationship work between Nathaniel and Chase?
What we do the most often is I like to lean over his fender and across his hood and, do little things like that and kind of press up against him and rub against him like that. One of his more bold positions is for me to be underneath him. He really likes that.
Now... Somebody explain to me how he knows.
How he can tell.
That Chase really likes it when he's underneath him.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It's a lot of creepy. So, as usual with these shows, My Strange Addiction, they bring in best friend, relative, in this case it's dad. And Chase has to explain to dad that he's in a relationship, a committed relationship, by the way. He's not cheating with any other cars.
Nice.
I mean, he's really on the up and up with Chase.
Okay.
And dad didn't know before they made this show. So
apparently
he's telling
not.
Him on camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's explaining to dad that he has this relationship and what kind of relationship it is. And dad, I think like all of us, needs more detail.
I'm just going to come out and say it, I guess. I'm in an intimate relationship with Chase. Sexually and emotionally.
You're in an intimate relationship with your car.
Yes.
And sexually with your car.
Yes.
Your car.
Yes.
He just needs clarification. He asked like three times. So you're saying your car.
Yes.
Wait, your car?
Your car?
How does that work? How can you have sex with a car?
All right. Anybody need more explanation or no?
Stop the creeper. You're getting weird.
First he's leaning over the fender. Then the car likes it when he's underneath.
Yeah.
And now to Lisa's point about sitting inside the car.
Mainly it's just a lot of just rubbing up against him. And it involves masturbating as well.
All right.
Yeah, okay. I knew it.
So that happens.
He just climbs in his car and masturbates. That's his sex life.
No, he doesn't climb in being. He rubs and there's a lot of warm up.
Okay.
Chase needs a lot of warm up. Chase is like a woman. Needs a lot of warm up. So dad says, hey, crazy son who's having a sexual relationship with Carr, why don't you go see a therapist?
Thank you. Finally, somebody said it.
So the therapist asked him a question.
Have you ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend?
All right. What's the answer to that one?
Big Ed O.
Lisa?
I got to agree.
I've had girlfriends in the past. Yeah. No. It's always been hard. It's never worked out, I guess, because of that piece of me. Huh. Is still attached to cars.
His piece is attached to the car. I didn't know
he
that.
No, he doesn't That's mean physically. He doesn't mean physically. He just means he's not satisfied with a woman.
So then the therapist, on his way to try and talking him out of being in a relationship with a car, tells him that he's going to have some problems in society.
Now, a lot of people's reaction is going to be that this is perverted. I think that's what makes me hesitant to tell people.
That's a good instinct. I think you should stick with that instinct of not telling people. Guy who just went on a TV show to say that you're in love with a car.
Way to keep it on the down low.
Wow. How could you keep that more quiet? And after he talks to the therapist and he talks to his dad, is he ready to move on to people? Or is he going to stick with the car? What do you guys think? This is always the crux of the issue.
Yeah. Look, this is the first My Strange Addiction in a long time where the person hasn't actually been doing something that's detrimental to their health. They're not eating tires, for instance.
The other woman in this particular episode was snorting baby powder.
There you go.
As much as she could take.
Oh,
there you go.
Now,
I'm going to say that this guy, if he's happy with this car and it's not doing him any physical harm, I don't think there's any reason for him to give him up. I give it up. I just think he's going to stick with it.
Lisa?
I don't think he'll give it up either.
I feel I'm going to have to face those situations where people are making fun, and I'll try to deal with those the best I can as they come.
All right.
But I don't want to make any changes.
Okay.
I feel a long, happy relationship with Chase, and I'm very proud of that.
Oh, that's sweet. He feels a long and very happy relationship with Chase, and he's very proud of it. The answer to your question being no tailpipe.
Yeah. No tailpipe.
Chase that's not giving up the tailpipe.
Because that would have been the obvious way to do that. So what happens when Chase wears out, as all cars do? Does he scrap heap that one and move on to a younger, newer model?
They didn't answer that. They didn't really look into the future quite that far. They just wanted to know if he was happy the way it was. And by the way, Nathaniel, always at the front of the car. I can't stress this enough. He was never around the back.
Okay, well.
So Chase a little uptight, if you ask me.
Someone
it sounds
didn't
like
love
it.
You enough when you were little, did they?
Our friend Eddie Eft, very funny comedian, just tweeted, I'll be on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning around 7 a.m. If it sounds like I'm drunk, it's because of jet lag and that I'm drunk. So we're going to have the best of Eddie Eft on the program here. We love Eddie. We're very excited he's coming in. That's on the way. We got more tickets for the K-Rock, the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 and backstage passes you can win coming up later on this morning. But first, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's internet roundup.
Too much good stuff. Whose slogan is that? Is that Taco Bell that says that? Too much good stuff. That's what this internet roundup is about. It's a bountiful week of great viral videos. We put them all in one handy-dandy location right there at krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
This might be the best batch we've ever had.
Seriously. And there are some great ones that we don't have audio or time to play audio for. For instance, the latest in bad lip reading on The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead is so great.
One of the funniest ones they've ever done. Anyway, so many videos up in one location. I love this one so much. This is just a guy who decided to tape his wife. She was very, very drunk and insisted on telling him a joke. So he recorded it and then animated it. And it's A, hilarious joke. B, the animation is hilarious too. And nothing's funnier than listening to drunk people talk. Here's a taste of what the wife sounds like.
And then the other chick was like, no, I'm not your friend. No, I'm not your friend.
It's when you're drunk, everything is so funny. So Nacho, yes. A little pun she thought was so great, she couldn't get through it.
It's so funny. The Dodgers beer mug are not having maybe the best season they've ever had in their lives.
You say beer mug because he's a fan?
Because he and Dave are just crying because they've now lost seven in a row. But they did have an unbelievably great moment the other night. And that was, there was this kid who's unfortunately very, very sick. I think he has spinal cancer. And he's a huge Dodgers fan and a huge Matt Kemp fan in particular. Well, they were sitting down on the third baseline. And they managed to get word to Matt Kemp that this kid was here. So Matt Kemp comes up to him after the game. You're not going to believe what he did, Kevin. Have you seen this video?
I have, yeah. It's crazy.
He walks up to this kid and signs a baseball and hands it to him. Then takes off his Dodgers cap, hands it that to him. Then pulls his jersey off, hands that to the kid. Then takes his cleats off, hands that to... And at this point, I'm thinking...
Then took his cup off.
At this point, I'm thinking, Matt Kemp's going to get arrested for indecent exposure if this doesn't end soon. It was one of the most spontaneously beautiful and generous moments I've ever seen on a baseball field. And you can imagine what the reaction was like to the people that were sitting around this kid. And I think one of them managed to videotape it and put it up on YouTube, and that's how we have it here.
Oh, wow. Really bad scene. Oh, my God. They're a boss.
Cleats everything. Can you imagine how that kid got beat up on the way out?
I hope that's not the case. You'll get goosebumps watching that, but way to go, Matt Kemp. What a beautiful moment that was. Gay of Thrones is back. That's the recap. It's on Funny or Die. There's a guy who's a hairdresser, and he's always talking about Game of Thrones, doing his own recaps. Tries not to spoil it for people, but sometimes he doesn't do a very good job of that.
He got like all up on the crucifix, and the guy was all like, break this shit.
This is a spoiler.
This is a demonstration. No, you're not even looking at the demonstration. You're missing it.
This is the demonstration. You're demonstrating a spoiler. I don't want to see what he did to his finger.
I didn't either. It was so hard to watch.
I didn't even watch Game of Thrones, but I love the Game of Thrones recap so much every week. All right, here's two videos in a row that go together. The first one was a viral ad video that was put out by Dove, the people that make the soap. And basically the short version of this, and I guess women were very excited about this video, Lisa, because they would ask somebody to describe their face, and then they would have an artist draw their face without looking at them. Then they would ask somebody else to describe the first woman's face, and they always describe that person as being more beautiful than the person saw herself. And that's what the point of the ad was to say, man, you're being too hard on yourselves. You're way better looking than you think you are. And that was the original video. So I'll play some of that and then you'll hear the parody video about it. That's awesome.
I didn't know what he was doing, but then I could tell after several questions that he was drawing me.
Tell me about your chin.
It kind of protrudes a little bit, especially when I smile.
Your jaw?
My mom told me I had a big jaw.
So did my husband.
So then the parody video is men going in and describing their testicles so that those can then be drawn, and then the comparison is
made. By a sketch artist.
I want you to describe your balls.
I realized after a couple of questions, she was drawing me.
Tell me about your sack.
It's just stinky, like a bag of old rags.
The texture?
That's more freckles than there used to be.
Well, my mom always told me I had soggy balls.
And it goes on from
there. Wow. I think you want to have that conversation with your mom.
You do get to see lots of artist renderings of testicles, though, if you're into that sort of thing. Our friend at Honest Trailers is back. They do the best work with the new Star Trek movie coming out next week. They have gone back and done an honest trailer, which is all the things they should say in the trailer but don't, about the first Star Trek movie from 2009.
Meet Nero.
Hello.
A Romulan out for vengeance after his home planet is destroyed. He'll be given a second chance to save his species when a black hole sends him back in time. But instead of warning his planet about their impending doom, he'll drift around waiting in space for 25 years. Come on, they don't have phones in space?
Every time you're sitting there watching a movie trailer and you're poking holes in it because you can see how ridiculous it is, that's what they put in the Oddest trailers, which is so awesome. Everybody's still talking about my man Charles Ramsey. He's the guy who managed to break out Amanda Berry from that hell house in Cleveland. He's the one who broke down the door and got her out and gave that colorful interview on the news about how he was coming back from McDonald's and saw this little white girl running into his arms. Well, we said at the time, and they did finally make the auto-tune remix of his speech that he gave to the news. The Gregory Brothers once again hit a home run with this.
She said, please help me get out. So I opened the door. We can't get in that way. The body can't fit through the door. Only your hand. So we kick the bottom. And she comes out and she says, it's some old girls up in that house. Call 911. And they called him at McDonald's. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. They give away.
So good. And let's close with two clips from Between Two Ferns, which is the best internet talk show in the world. Zach Galifianakis hosts. This is a two-parter. First part is James Franco sitting down, and Zach is doing his customary awesome interview.
Your face resembles James Dean's.
Oh, thanks.
Is it safe to say your sausage resembles Jimmy Dean's?
Long and smooth with
tasty. What actors would you like to work with?
Tons of actors.
Well, name one.
Ed Norton.
Why don't you marry him?
And then speaking of Ed Norton, he actually turns up in the next guest's video because he has on The Lonely Island. And they are debuting a brand new song. They got a new album getting ready to come out. And they are debuting a brand new song called Spring Break Anthem that they perform. It's an awesome video. And again, it's on Between Two Ferns on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
We have a music guest. Please welcome The Lonely Island.
Spring Break, y'all! You can rally, that's what's up. Booze crew, raise your glass, start that coke off her ass. Two chicks.
Yeah, it's a crazy video, by the way, that has Zach Galifianakis marrying every member of Lonely Island and all sorts of spring breakers and girls kissing and the whole thing. It's pretty not safe for work, but you can check out that video and all the others. Just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for this week's brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Too many noises at the end of that song. I guess I don't need to add any more. But hey, Eddie Ift, next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, Mark Maron in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, Dr. Drew will be here, and more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 and backstage passes that you can win on the Kevin and Bean Show and all day long on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Ralph is out for a couple days filming a movie, don't you know? He's in that new Seth MacFarlane Western, which sounds like it's going to be awesome. Ralph and his mustache on the big screen is going to be terrifying, by the way.
Sweet mustache.
Yeah, it is.
It is sweet. I can't believe he's not an anchorman. It seems like he's got to be an anchorman with that mustache. Anyway, he's out for a couple days. We're taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat. Lisa May, it's your turn this hour. What's going on?
Well, I love people who try to hire people to knock people off. Does it ever work? Don't they always get caught?
You hire a hitman?
Yeah, hire a hitman.
I don't know. I would think so.
So, this band is called As I Lay Dying, and as Bean told me, it's a metal-ish Christian-ish band.
I think you have to add Christian-ish because of the whole hire for murder thing.
Right. Well, that is kind of the problem-ish. So he was arrested in San Diego on Tuesday because he was trying to kill his wife. Now, his wife had already filed for divorce months before, but apparently he was trying to hire an undercover detective to murder him.
Dude.
Or murder her. Wow. And the police found out, and the band is like, we're sorry. We're in shock. We don't. Oh my God!
Man.
We don't know anything.
Can anyone else sing?
Yeah.
Look, it's when no matter what the serious crime is, when it happens, there are always people who were close to that person, who were friends with that person,
yes,
who lived next door, or were in the family of that person, who just never in a million years they always think that's something that happens with other people, not with my people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it has to be a shocker.
There has to be somebody somewhere who will one day say, oh, of course. Like if Bean killed somebody and they interviewed us.
How
dare
you?
Of course we saw it coming. There's just nothing we could do.
He hated her with all his heart.
Yeah.
But look at, again, let's go back to Cleveland for a moment. Look at Charles Ramsey, who barbecued and listened to salsa music with his next door neighbor many times over the course of a year. And in a million years would have never had any idea what was going on inside that house. You just don't know.
Not really a detective there.
Right.
I just think the fact that he's in a band called As I Lay Dying and he plotted to commit murder, there's some symmetry there that I support.
You love.
I do too.
But I think Lisa's right that people rarely get away with it. In fact, let's do a phone-in topic. If you've ever gotten away with hiring a hitman to kill somebody, give us a call.
Or if you tried to and you got caught. Either way.
Either way. We want to hear what happened.
We'll take calls from jail.
Okay, I love this story even more, which is that they're going to get rid of all four judges on American Idol. It is just falling apart before our eyes.
All four?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, like Nicki Minaj. No Randy? Randy has been there from the... What will Randy do?
I think he's fine. Yeah, he already has a career.
He's
a musician. I don't know.
He's been there. He just, well.
So who are they talking about? He's a producer, manager.
Yeah, that's
who are they
true.
Talking about then?
They are talking about anyone. They have no idea who they're going to. And they're also getting rid of the producer, Nigel Lithgow. They said they're not going to bring him back, but they've lost their core audience and they're trying to get them back. Good luck.
Yeah.
Look.
It doesn't work very often.
It does sound like a fire sale. In fact, instead of having city-to-city auditions for contestants, maybe they'll have city-to-city auditions for judges.
For judges.
And you'll just show up and you'll just show them how you do. Some of it is not their fault. Some of it is just a factor of the fact that the show's been on for 12 years or whatever it's been on.
And everybody's seen it.
You get tired of it. Exactly. Part of it is that because of the success of American Idol, tons of other singing competitions have come along, and some of them, like The Voice, happen to be better. So, I mean, it's not really their fault to a certain extent, I don't think.
I agree.
And couldn't they just keep limping along for a while? They probably still make a lot of money, just not as
much. Absolutely, they make a lot of money.
So maybe they're just going to get rid of these people and get people they don't have to pay.
Here's what I know. I know when you're gambling in Vegas and you lose a lot, if you go back in to recoup it, you can always get it back.
Good lesson.
But, the one thing I have to give them credit for is they really did put up some big money to try to bring in people like Jennifer Lopez for one season and Steven Tyler and Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj. I mean, they certainly have been trying to get interesting, colorful people to be judges, but that format just may be too tired to save, no matter who's behind the desk.
Unless it's Eminem. He should be there.
That would be an interesting choice.
DMX should be a judge. I could make that show work.
If Kevin made American Idol. So Sharon Osbourne, I love her, and I love how her career just keeps going.
Yeah.
The older she gets. So X Factor has hired her in Britain for £1.8 million. So that's about $3 million, I guess.
I think so.
Something like that. And they're going to also give her another £300,000 to fly first class back and forth.
Sweet.
Which, she's going to have wardrobe, hair, chauffeur-driven cars. As far as Ozzy goes, she says things have calmed down, but they're a long way from being okay. So I don't think they're still living together.
She's going to have to be sober for a while, I think, before she takes him back.
Probably a couple of years. So maybe she'll like having something else to do. Watch him try not to drink. And I love this news. Neil Patrick Harris is so awesome. You would think that I watch the Tonys. But I never watch the Tony Awards.
No one does, Lisa.
Well, somebody does.
Nope.
I mean, I love theater, but I don't usually watch the Tonys. But I watched last year because Neil Patrick Harris hosted, and he was great. And the awards were great. And he's going to host again this year. So even if you don't normally watch it, you should watch it. It's a wonderful show. June 9th on CBS.
Look, I love Neil Patrick Harris. I think he's great.
He should host the Oscars.
Watch that show.
No way I'm watching the Tonys.
Watch the show.
No possible way. But he should host the Oscars. He's so good.
Sure.
He should host
the Oscars.
Yes. Celebrity birthdays. James L. Brooks, who has directed everything, is 76 years old. Billy Joel is 64. Dave Gahan, 51. Ghostface Killah is 43. Rosario Dawson is 34. And Adrena Partridge is 28 and somewhere.
Or Partridge.
Partridge, sorry. Yeah, Partridge. And she's somewhere in a bikini, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
That's the showbiz beat.
All right.
Eddie Eft in studio with us now, the comedian and actor who is appearing at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night at 8. Eddie, I wish I had not heard you say anything about the urethra when you sat down, because that
can't talk about
is
that.
A visual
no talking about that
that I will never be can't. Able to remove from my brain.
I don't know how we'd describe it on the air.
We can't.
We're not going to prison and having the new chairman of the FCC come down on us.
It was one of the most painful things I've ever contemplated.
Stop it. I've had the STD check and the Q-tip was enough.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Moving on. Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually...
Eddie... Yes, Kevin?
I was just going to say that's actually too much, but go ahead.
Eddie is just back, and I mean yesterday you got back from Australia?
Yeah, I don't even know what day. I think I'm still a day ahead of you guys.
That's insane. How long's that flight, Eddie?
I landed after I left Like,
oh, there you go.
We're a day behind yeah. here. So it was actually I did time travel.
It's Thursday here. You know that, right?
I don't.
It's Thursday.
What month?
So at least when you got home, you crawled right into bed and caught 15 hours sleep, and you've done nothing since you arrived, right?
No. I did Loveline last night. And
okay.
What the?
Yeah.
How was Loveline?
It was good. I'm convinced, though, Dr. Drew is one of those guys in Cleveland. He's got women.
Really?
I'm convinced. He's too nice. He's too charming. And I think he's gonna Lance Armstrong us all. Like, we're going to find
out.
One day it's going to be Dr. Drew is in rehab because... Well, not just rehab. We're going to find out he was, like, the diabolical leader behind, like, the Illuminati or something.
Yes.
Because no one's that good and smart. And...
No. It's just he talks to you. He's got that soothing voice.
He does. Just,
anything he could say to me, I'd believe him. If he was like, oh, yeah, you're having issues with your father, you need to take this aloe and rub it all over your man parts.
And I'd be like, and his.
Yeah, and your father.
You know, it's like Bean and I have both hosted Loveline, and it's so funny because when you take a call, somebody brings up something, and you go... and you just look at Dr. Drew. That's the only thing you can do. And Dr. Drew's never thrown.
Yeah, nothing. Ever. I try to shock him. I try to tell him things when I'm there, and he just looks at me and goes, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Seen that.
Yeah, heard that.
The problem also is that he works with Psycho Mike, yes. who is the guy who has all of the bad links. Mike will show you the worst stuff on the planet.
Yeah, I get those texts from him with the pictures. And, yep. and we go one for one, and we go back and forth until I have to quit.
I quit ahead of time. I just go, Mike, I'm not going to play this game with you because you win, and I don't want to see what you have.
I tap out like I'm being choked to death. I'm like, I'm out.
One day, Dr. Drew may end up in prison for something. We don't know what yet, but they're definitely going to get Mike. They're going to find his browser one day, and they're going to go, what's with all these photos of infections? Because he does only look at the grossest, saddest things in the world.
Mike has sent me stuff that's had on my computer. I was in Dubai once, which is in the Middle East. I was trying to get – I missed my flight, so I was trying to leave to go back to the hotel. But I was only on a three-day visa. So I went out and passed my visa, and they were like, where are you going? And I said, I'm just going to the hotel. You can't leave. You know, you don't have a visa.
You have to stay at the airport?
So they took me to this room. They started questioning me, asking me all these weird questions.
Strip search?
Close to a strip search. I mean, they were really going after me. And at one point, they take my laptop and they open it up.
Oh,
and I was like,
no.
Oh, my God.
What if they see the stuff Psycho Mike sent you?
Well, pornography is illegal in the Middle East. You can go to prison for it. And I've got way worse than pornography. And I'm like, I'm going to jail. And I'm just going to have my lawyer call Psycho Mike. And be like, you know he's in jail because of you. He's doing Midnight Express right now.
What was the strangest or saddest call that you received on Loveline last night? Because there's always one where everybody's having a good time and we're yucking it up until some kid calls and says what?
Yeah, it's always something that just saddens me and I can't make a joke and I have to be cool. In my head, the joke is there.
Sure.
But in my career head, I'm going, don't say it or it's right. over.
It's funny because to us, you don't have a career head. To us, we get in trouble almost every time you're on our show.
That's true. Wait, I thought you were saying, to us, you don't have a career.
Like, no, you have a career.
That's true, too. That's true. No, last night, some guy called. They were saying, what would you do for... like for good sex, how far would you go? Like, what would you put up with? And some guy just called up and he's like, ah, I used to pound this girl. And he's like, I just would. And he's like, she did heroin. Her friends would come over and threaten me with needles.
What?
And he just went on and on about this girl. And basically, Dr. Drew was like, and why would you go after women like this? And he's like,
always the analyst.
And he's like, they're easy.
Wow.
And I'm like, so are dead bodies.
Right. Doesn't mean you don't necessarily want to score.
Nothing rattles those guys on Loveline, though,
Nothing.
Because I mean that's how they end up with games like, you know, guessing whether someone was molested or not, because at some point they're just so disassociated from the actual human pain because they've just heard it all.
Well, I kind of feel like that's happened to me with what has gone on in my life. My girlfriend just said, I'm having a bachelor party before my wedding, and everybody said to her, aren't you worried about him at the bachelor party? And she's like, no, nothing they can do in Las Vegas is worse than what goes on in this house during his podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
That is actually true. The podcast is Talking-ish, shall we say, with Eddie Ift. It's available through iTunes. Eddie is going to be on stage at the Hollywood Improv. I suspect he can get some sleep. He's going to crash probably after this appearance this morning. So he'll be well-rested for tomorrow night at the Improv. You can get tickets at HollywoodImprov.com. Doors open at 7:30, showtime 8 o'clock with Eddie. Eddie just got back from Australia. We'll talk about that when we return, including apparently you had a face-to-face encounter with one of the deadliest creatures in the world, right?
Yes.
I want to hear about
the American woman.
Our friend Eddie Ift in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was on April Foolish's, not this year, but last year, if I recall correctly. Right, Eddie?
Yeah, I did it last year when the lap dance incident happened.
Brad Williams,
The lap dance incident. Which, by the way,
Lisa May
be a
lost
surprise.
Her virginity.
I did.
Lap dance incident may be a surprise band at Weenie Roast this year. Eddie is on stage in a much smaller room at the Hollywood Improv. That's going to be tomorrow night at 7:30. Trust us on this. If you've never seen Eddie live, you will have a great time. Please get to HollywoodImprov.com and buy those tickets.
Plus, you almost lost the opportunity to see him because he was in Australia. And tell us about coming face-to-face with your own death.
Apparently, like, everything in Australia will kill you, like the spiders, the sharks, the snakes, the coffee.
They got a jellyfish that'll kill you.
Yeah, the box jellyfish.
Right.
The box jellyfish. I got bit by a blue bottle jellyfish once, or stung, and I went up to the lifeguard, and I said, I just got stung by a blue bottle. And I was pointing at him, I was like, what do I do? What do I do? And he goes, nothing unless you're a wimp.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like,
what if I'm a wimp?
And I was like, well, I didn't know. I thought it might be one of the killers. And he was like, ugh. You know. He was just like, go away, American.
I'm impressed that you were able to identify what species of jellyfish
it was just blue. I was surfing and I duck dived through a wave and I came up and I saw this thing on my shoulder and I was just like, ah. And weirdly, a day before I was swimming and the lifeguards came out in a boat and get in the boat. And I went, what? They're like, Mike, get in the boat. And I'm like, what? They're like, get in the boat now. Now, I didn't get in their boat because they do a TV show called Bondi Rescue. And it's the most popular show in Australia.
Right.
And they rescue tourists, mostly Japanese tourists.
Right.
Constantly, who can't swim and whatever. And I'm
so you didn't think there was a real threat?
So I just was like, I don't want to be on Bondi Rescue. This will just ruin me. And they're going, Mike, get in the boat. Get in the boat. And I'm like, and they're like, there's blue bottles everywhere. Nests of them. And so I got in the boat. They motor me in. And sure enough, on the beach are all my comedian friends pointing and laughing who sent them out to get me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is that Australia literally has more things that will kill you than any other country.
They say that, yet. You will never – everyone will talk about it in Australia and you'll go, but do you know anyone that's ever been stung or bitten or died? And they're like, nah.
Really? Because they have all those snakes and crocodiles and those that stonefish is supposed to be the deadliest fish in the world. I've heard about that. That kills you.
I saw the white-tipped spider. It was like in the corner of the doorway.
Now, what's that?
It's apparently like a really, really dangerous spider.
White-tipped spider.
The redbacks and the white tips are the worst ones.
And where did you run into that?
It was in the – I had to go through this little door to get backstage at the theater that I was
– Like a midget door?
Yeah, it was like a midget door.
Okay.
And so I'm like
– Was Brad Williams on before you?
So he was inside. Come on in. Welcome to Midgetland. But the spider was like in the corner and I saw it and I went.
How close were you?
Like, you know, I was about to duck my head and I would have probably hit the web.
Okay.
And I looked and I went, is that one? And most times they go, that's nothing.
No,
and
mate.
The guy goes, oh, that'll kill you.
Really? For real?
Yeah. But I've never heard of anyone getting stung and dying or bitten or anything.
But you didn't want to be the first, so.
No, one time I got out of we were driving through the bush like doing this tour and I saw a giant kangaroo. We saw a giant kangaroo. Like this thing looked like it was 8 feet tall.
Right.
And I see it and I go, oh, look at that statue. And I was like, that's a funny statue. Somebody had it in their yard. So I was like, I'm going to go get my picture taken with it. So I start like walking towards it.
Oh, I wish I could have watched that.
Yeah, I was that guy. It was about to be like a YouTube video. And the comedian in the car just starts yelling. He's like, Mike, don't go near it. It'll disembowel you.
Disembowel?
Yeah, apparently that's what they say. Kangaroos, when they kill people, that's what they do. But I've never heard of a kangaroo killing
someone. What order, though? Do you get killed first? Because then that's fine.
No, but if you want to watch YouTube videos of there's a guy that gets beat up by a kangaroo. And it's the funniest video ever because he takes the kangaroo around. around to show him to people, like the kangaroo boxes. It's an old video.
Right.
And they put boxing gloves on. And the kangaroo loses it and just beats the crap out of this guy, rightfully so. Yeah. And the whole news set, everybody's like, stop!
It's not funny anymore.
And the kangaroo's kicking and punching. And, it's just like, there, you got what was coming to you, Siegfried.
That's awesome. When you get bit by these spiders, by the way, is it quick death? Or if you get to a hospital in time, can they give you an antidote?
I think the people that die, it's usually out in the bush and they don't get to the hospital quick enough.
But there's a way they can save you. If you're in an area where you can get to a hospital,
but there
right?
are snakes in Africa, for example, that if they bite you, there is no antidote.
Really,
it's just it happens so fast. You have less than a minute, and not enough God. People get bitten by these snakes that they've never really
cared.
And it probably costs too much to develop an antidote for something that would be so infrequently used.
And you couldn't get back to get it anywhere. You'd have to carry it with you.
Well, I was at the Taronga Zoo filming some segment for some show, and this guy he's coming up behind me with the most dangerous snake in the world, and like filming it, like thinking it's funny. And I turn around, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, this is the most dangerous snake in the world." I'm like, get away from me. And he goes, "I won't get you." And I went, "What?" He goes, "They can sense when you're scared." And I'm like, "I'm terrified right now. get this snake away from me."
Nobody expects when they become a comedian for a living that they're going to put their life in danger every time they hit the road, Eddie. Seriously.
It happens so often, though, where people think, I'm going to put you in a horrible situation because it'll be funny.
It'll be funny. Right, exactly.
And it's happening more and more. A guy, I surf and I like it when it's just overhead. That's big enough for me. The other day, my friend takes me surfing in Australia and we paddle out into what was like, I think that I was going to win the biggest wave competition. Like it was
you
like,
don't want to do that.
It
though.
Was like 20 feet and I was just, I got out there because you went out behind the waves, like through the rocks. And then I went, okay, we need to get a helicopter to get me out of here. Where is Ashton Kutcher when you need him?
To airlift you out?
Yeah.
Did you catch one?
No. I was just trying to figure out how to get in.
Yeah,
right.
And I just got pummeled the whole way in.
I wonder how many people have actually died trying to make a funny YouTube video.
That's a great question. That's a great question because I'll bet it's in the millions.
Exactly. All right. We have to take one more quick break with our guest, Eddie Ift. Again, the Hollywood Improv. That's going to be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Buy your tickets at HollywoodImprov.com. You'll have a great time. Just $18. And by the way, a big lineup. A lot of other comedians on the bill. It's not just Eddie, right?
Even if
Eddie sucks, you get some up-and-coming comedians that are awesome.
Sure. I got a lot of the guys from the podcast that are guests on my podcast coming out, so it's going to be pretty out of control. Last time, all the Hmongs from my show got thrown out.
All right.
Oh. They were so drunk and throwing up and I called the improv the next day. And I said, I'm really sorry. And they go, it was really funny.
That's cool. That will be
The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We've got tickets for you again coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning and then every hour all day long up until 8 o'clock. Eddie Ift is here with us right now. Black Keys are playing the show this year, and you're just telling us you're out of town.
I know. It's like my dream come true to go to that, and I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina.
What's going on? 30 seconds to Mars.
No possible way now. I would love to.
I'm gonna Vampire text Weekend I'm gonna of Monsters and Men.
You have to, yeah.
I'm going to text you like 50 pictures of the Black Keys performing.
Oh, it's a story of my
Black
life.
Keys holding up a sign going, where's Eddie? We wanted to hang out with Eddie. We wanted Eddie to come on and do a set with us. And to strap on. By the way, Mark Maron joins us in studio next hour. Do you know Mark, Eddie? I assume you guys know each other.
Mark and I go way back.
For reals?
Yeah. Mark was sort of a mentor to me. Not.
I feel like Eddie has a lot of enemies.
No. Mark,
you get that idea, Bean?
When I was coming up in comedy, I worked at the Comedy Cellar a lot in New York City, and I was pretty young starting out, and I remember one night Mark took me, he goes, I need to talk to you, and he took me downstairs, and he goes, look, things are going well for you, people like you, you know, you're probably going to do well, but I just want to let you know something. I'm not on board.
Was he being funny?
No, he doesn't remember it, but I tell him every time I see him, he's like, really? I did that? And I go, yeah,
I'm
you
not
did.
On board.
Yeah.
But let me ask you
this,
Eddie.
You were going to say he mentored you and he brought you up. He told you how to handle success.
Not in the least.
Nobody does that, do they, in comedy?
Not in comedy. Dimitri Martin once said, comedy is the one thing that nobody likes ambition.
Eddie, you seem to be, and again, we don't know you super well, but we've had you on the show a number of times. Now, you seem to be one of the happiest and most well-adjusted people in comedy. Am I wrong about that?
I have three women locked in my basement right now.
Yeah. Well, don't we all? I mean, you do? That's terrible. No, but you know what I'm saying? Because Marc Maron's a perfect example of a guy who, and, you know, Louis C.K. is another one, and Larry David. There's so many examples of guys that you see, it seems like they are miserable on the inside, but turn that into comedy and it works great for him. You don't seem to be that guy.
Well,
you seem to be a guy who's happy on and off.
I had a manager one time tell me, he's like, it's never going to work for you. And I said, why not? And he goes, because you're not, there's nothing wrong. You're not crazy. You're not there. You have to be, to make it in comedy, you've got to be, there's got to be something really wrong with you.
There's,
you have to be seriously abused.
That's true, like 90% of the time.
Yeah. And I try to figure it out. I go home to my parents and I'm like, all right, who touched me? Well, who was it? Somebody.
Let's get this out in the open right now.
Do you agree with that assessment, Eddie? In your experience, are most comics really unhappy?
I would say a good, very, very good portion of them. And I've seen a lot of, like, in the past years, I saw a lot of guys like dropping off because of drug abuse and depression and all these things. And weirdly, it used to be you'd go to a comedy club and the whole weekend would just be party, party, party. Like, comics thought they were rock stars. And now I go to comedy clubs and the guy's like, you want to get up for a run? And I know this place that has grass-fed beef. And it's almost like we've all gone, wow, we have a short shelf life. We got to clean this up.
Who's the comedian? I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. The one who's got the documentary out now, the older guy.
Eddie Pepitone.
Yes.
Eddie Pepitone
is
hysterical.
It's a great movie, but I mean, it makes me wonder how he survives. Like, he gets up, he's just so filled with rage every day, and he's so miserable. He barely makes it through his day, yet he manages to be so funny. I don't even understand the two parts of that brain.
Well, I think what I've done is I've surrounded myself with these crazy
people. With unhappiness?
Not unhappiness, but I've always found interesting. I collect crazies.
Me too. Love that.
Yeah, and I'm looking around the room. And,
you're going shopping.
But like, my podcast is just, I can't find enough crazy people. Like, the last episode, I had a guy talk about how he murdered a person and in self-defense. But then people, like friends of mine that are comics, are like, hey, I want to do your podcast. And I'm like, how are you going to top a murder?
That's a pretty high bar to try.
I've had people that have been shot in the face and all kinds of crazy, weird stuff that they do because I find it interesting. And I always have. I'm like, my parents will be like, don't go to that house at the end of the street. That's that family, you know?
And to you, that sounds like I got to go right away.
I'd be knocking on their door going, trick or treat. You know, let's find out.
So you're damaged. There's some damage there.
Really?
Yeah. You're drawn to...
Maybe
crazy,
he was just
bad
born
situation.
Damaged.
But it sounds like it doesn't stick to him, though, Kevin. It sounds like he's able to be an observer of crazy, but not then also become crazy, which I think is great. You just seem
I'm just crazier than all of them.
Yeah. You just seem – you know what I love about you, Eddie, is that you seem to be – and there are very few people who just – you feel good being around, and I'm not trying to get too, sappy here.
Oh, thanks,
but
guys.
You seem to be excited, enthusiastic about life, and you don't see very many people with that frame of mind.
I'll tell you what it is.
Everybody's cynical. These days. That's why everybody is cynical.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. There's a difference between funny and fun. And most comedians that are funny are not fun.
Yeah. Oh, I found that years ago where, like, after shows, I wanted to go out and take all the comics with me and have this, like, crazy.
I think that'd be an amazing night.
And they were like, we'd be at the Comedy Cellar in New York, and they were all sitting around the table, and they're like, you're going to go places? And I was like, what are you going to do? We're going to sit here and make fun of each other. And I was like, well, I'm going to go out. And I said to one comedian once, I was like, come on, let's go meet some girls. And he goes, you're going to take me out of a comedy club? That's like giving me kryptonite. This is where all my power is.
God. Well, I'm glad you're doing so well. I hope you're able to get some sleep. I hope you can recover from the jet lag. And get it together before tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv. You got anything left?
Thanks.
You got any juice left for tomorrow night, or you spent?
No, I'm ready to go. I'm actually weirdly healthy, so I've got energy.
It's all that running and that grass-fed beef. That's what it is. Hollywood Improv tomorrow night at 7:30. Tickets available through HollywoodImprov.com. Just $18 to see our friend Eddie Eft. And by the way, Mark Maron just arrived. You can go.
Great!
Say hello to him in the other room if you want.
I'm the only comedian in the world that hasn't been on his podcast.
I'm not on board. We'll see you soon, Eddie.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Maron joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then Dr. Drew. Are they just going to cancel Dr. Drew's show on Headline News now that the Jody Arias trial is over, Kevin? What's left for him to talk about?
I'll bet he'll be so happy because he can talk about anything else. he will be thrilled.
He was bursting at the seams last night after they read the verdict, though. So we'll catch up with Dr. Drew. First, though, Ralph is out for a couple days. As he announced yesterday, he is filming a part in a Western that his friend Seth MacFarlane is making. So he's going to be gone. We're taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat. And I want to start with some awesome news. Look, I know everybody's excited about Iron Man 3 in theaters. Everybody's looking forward to Star Trek. There's a bunch of movies coming out this summer that people are excited about. But can't we just fast forward and give up the rest of the year so that it can be December 20th today and Anchorman 2 can be in front of us?
Oh, that's when?
Can't we just do that? December 20th.
Oh. No, I want to get to Hangover 3 and then Anchorman.
Then we can fast forward after Memorial Day then. Yeah. You're willing to give up your whole summer just so you can see Anchorman 2. And I'm almost right there with you because the first Anchorman is one of the greatest films ever made. And it was shocking to us. Remember, for so long that Adam McKay and Will Ferrell could not get financing for a second one. We could never, I mean, we knew why, but it just didn't make any sense to us. And they finally got it going. They're filming in Atlanta right now, and bits and pieces are being, are leaking out of the set. For instance, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, I saw a photo of them wearing Anchorman outfits the other day.
So good.
They're in the movie. Harrison Ford, of course, has been added to the cast. Kristen Wiig is in the movie. Jim Carrey apparently films a part in the movie. Let me tell you some of the other cameos or roles. We don't know exactly what they do. Liam Neeson in the movie. Wow. John C. Reilly in the film. Will Smith.
What?
Jane Lynch. Nicole Kidman. And just announced yesterday, Kanye West filming a cameo in Anchorman 2.
What is happening?
Is this going to be like the greatest movie ever?
I certainly hope so.
I do too. Adam McKay and Will Ferrell back writing this one again, opening up in theaters on December the 20th. So excited. Can't wait. Can't wait.
TMZ reporting Mama June and Sugar Bear got married. As you know, they are Honey Boo Boo's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they got married. They had, here's the food. This is the food that was at the wedding. They had an entire pig that they roasted, which makes Bean very happy.
Very sad.
They had corn on the cob.
By the way, it wasn't, I hope it wasn't the little pig that they had as a pet in season one. I hope they just didn't.
God.
Remember that little pig that they had living in their
house? I can almost guarantee you it was.
Yes.
Because that wouldn't be big enough by now to feed that family, I don't think.
And I feel bad for this, but I got to be honest when I tell you, I think this sounds like great food for a wedding. So you got that. You got macaroni and cheese.
Nothing wrong with macaroni and cheese.
Is there anything better than that?
Right.
Baked beans, sweet tea. And gourmet candy bar for dessert.
Cheetos. Just the Cheetos are missing, really.
I wish all weddings were like that. That's the way to eat right there.
I wonder what their wedding would have been like if they weren't on television. Because don't you get the impression that the...
What channel
are they on? TLC or whoever they're on?
Mm-hmm.
Or A&E? I don't even know. But don't you get the impression that they came and said, how can we make this a wacky redneck wedding? What do we have to put into the mix here? But I just... And I wonder if they even would have gotten married if they weren't doing a TV show. Or if they sold it to them as it's a... I mean, they've been together for 9 years or something and she hasn't wanted to get married. Now, all of a sudden, they'll pay her a lot of money for a TV special. She does it. It's just
I would guess not. I would guess you're right.
It's weird. I always find it interesting to take a look at the Billboard magazine top 10 when the list comes out every week because I want to know how many of these songs I've never heard of or albums I've never heard of by artists I've never heard of. Let's see how we do. Kenny Chesney back on top with Life on a Rock. This is his 7th number one album, by the way.
That's
Kenny Chesney.
Country?
Mm-hmm. He is a country star. Okay. That guy I know. He's very, very popular. Michael Bublé is at number 2 this week. Justin Timberlake with the 2020 Experience, which is an album that's been out for a couple of months now, still selling real strong. Here's a surprise for you, Kevin. Number 4 on the album charts this week. Fantasia.
What?
Do you remember her?
From American Idol?
From American Idol way back in, I think, season 2. Who knew she was still around and making records? She's number 4.
Weird.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis at number 5 with their album The Heist. They have the number 1 song in America, by the way, with Can't Hold Us right now. Blake Shelton, the judge from The Voice and country music superstar, is number 6 this week. The latest from Pink, The Truth About Love, is number 7. Bruno Mars at 8. Country artist Randy Rogers at number 9. And Imagine Dragons at number 10. That rounds out the top 10 in this week's Billboard.
Celebrities getting tattoos of other celebrities. There's The Game. He just got a tattoo of President Barack Obama.
Okay.
Not exactly sure why.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I do know the why of the next one. These come from Us Weekly. It's Rob Kardashian getting a tattoo of his mom, Chris.
Oh, that's just creepy.
And you know why he did that? Because Chris made him.
Oh, no.
You know that's the case, right?
Yeah.
That's awful. Oh, my God. And finally, one more music note. Billy Joe Armstrong made headlines yesterday. Of course, the lead singer of Green Day. He said on Instagram yesterday that South Korean pop sensation Psy, you know, the Gangnam Style sure. guy, is the herpes of music. Billy Joe wrote, "This dude is the herpes of music. Once you think it's gone, it comes back. Hashtag herpes. Hashtag flare up. Hashtag please go away."
Did you see him at the Dodgers game this most recent time? Jimmy Kimmel.
Sigh?
Jimmy Kimmel had a clip of it, yeah.
I did not.
Maybe two, 3 nights ago. And he was doing the dance to his new song, and he was in the area right next to Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I did see those photos.
And Tommy Lasorda was looking at him like, what the F is going on at Dodger Stadium right now?
What planet?
Because, really, Tommy Lasorda is old now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get it. He doesn't listen to it. He can't figure out why people are going crazy. And he's just looking at him with such disgust. It's
yes,
awesome.
He is. Yeah, kids today with their damned riding a horse, imaginary horse music. Yeah, it's a hilarious, hilarious photo. Mark Maron joins us after the top of the hour in just a couple of minutes here on K-Rock. In the meantime, today's celebrity birthday is beautiful actress Rosario Dawson is 34 years old today. She is currently in theaters with the film called Trance, Andrew W.K. I don't know much about what his plans are for today, but I bet he's going to rock somehow.
I bet he's going to party.
He is 34. Audrina Patridge from The Hills is 28 years old today. Our friend Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode is 51. And one of the lesser acclaimed members of the Wu-Tang Clan is Ghostface Killa. He is celebrating his birthday today, and he is 43, and that's the show business. Here's what I love about our guest, Mark Maron. Here's how I know that his newfound massive success has not changed him. He's got this book out that's getting great reviews. He's got this new TV show that's getting great reviews. Yet the way he looks at it is, I got a lot of things in the air that could all come crashing down at any moment. Not even an ounce of, hey, it's finally paying off. It's working out.
No, it's there.
Up.
It could all end.
It's there. No, I have that. You just have to understand that happiness and gratitude and all and joy are not familiar emotions for me.
Right.
I feel them and I'm like, am I sick? Is there something wrong with me? It's a very hard thing for me to adjust to.
Do you try to fight them off? Do you actively?
I don't trust them. I don't know if I try to fight
them
off. I don't really know what to do with them. I have moments where I'm like, wow, you know, I finally, everything's kind of working out.
I might be happy.
I might. Well, let's not go crazy.
Okay, not that far.
but there comes a point when you spend your life doing something, you guys know, that you get to this point where things start to happen and your brain is just sort of like, well, I hope this kind of keeps happening. I hope I can keep working. When people ask you, what do you want? After a certain age, I mean, I'm 49 years old. What you want is to not die broke and have health insurance.
Right.
Yeah, that's really it.
It gets much simpler.
Yeah. It's like I'd like to live in a house that's comfortable and not be broke and perhaps
I don't
want to
live
coverage.
Under a bridge.
So I have those things. So
right.
I'm happy and I'm proud of what I put out there. It's a little nerve wracking.
Well, I'm so surprised, Mark. I got to be honest. I was delighted to hear that your show is coming to IFC and we will talk about that. And I think it's very, very funny. But I was surprised to see it happen because you don't strike me as a guy who's willing to leave the garage and go down to Hollywood for a meeting about a TV show. I feel like you're at the point now where you're living a comfortable life. Your podcast is hugely successful. You got money when you want it to go on the road. Why go the extra effort and set yourself up for all this heartache by making a TV show?
That's a good way to frame it.
Talked him out of doing it.
Yeah. Why put yourself out there to be hurt?
Right.
Well, I mean, that's what we do anyways as comics on some level. We're just defying people to like us on a daily basis. But I think what happens is when you get into this business as young as I got into it, no matter what kind of comedy you're doing, and initially I was doing fairly aggressive, kind of dark stuff, but you still want to get the payoff. You know, you still like, you know, when you came in at the time I came in, the payoff was, well, you want to get a show built around you of some kind. You want to be the star of your own show. And that kind of sticks with you. And then you get a couple of opportunities. And, you know, I've had a few deals to write scripts. And usually it's like, well, how do we get your point of view into a vehicle that everyone can relate to? So I think I was a chef in one. You know, and I was an angry chef who just kept getting fired, but I was inspired, you know. And that was a strip mall lawyer in another one who had, he was pissed off about, you know, the way the system worked. And then I did another script with Jerry Stahl, which was, you know, I was an advertising executive that had a manic episode and danced naked in a fountain outside of his corporate headquarters.
It sounds very plausible.
This is funny.
You,
this
Mark.
Is how Hollywood works, though, is they go, we like Mark Maron. He's funny. Yeah. Let's force him into some other kind of thing.
But it's not even force. You know, it's weird because you want the opportunity. Like, you got to hope that as a comic that your life either collapses or gets better every few years so you can go in and sort of pitch another version of it. I had one other one. These were all scripts that never made it to tape. I had one which I liked, which the idea I pitched was, you know, I'd gotten divorced the first time and I hadn't had any sort of attention for years, and they put me on some show at the Montreal Comedy Festival. I think it was the Remember This Old Guy show. Yeah, they have the new faces, and hey, you remember this fella? He looks kind of familiar.
He's still around.
Yeah. Who knew? Yeah, so I pitched a show that I liked. It was I was a guy who won the Oscar for Best Short Film, and I had a lot of opportunities, and I blew them. And then I moved back to my hometown, which I think was Tucson, and I became a wedding videographer.
So great.
Right, I had a wedding video business. I had my Oscar, you know, there on the mantle. And my
reminding
mother
worked with me. How far you've fallen.
Right, and I was divorced. But, you know,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, how these get ruined is like with that script. You know, you're writing the script. It was pretty good. You know, it wasn't rocket science. And then an executive says, well, we need to get a kid in there because we got a demographic to honor. So, so now you got this script that's pretty good. And now all of a sudden I got to have a comedy club waitress knock on the door and go, remember me? This is your son. He's on the show now. You know, so you're wedging things in.
They got to junk it up.
Right, so to answer your question, you know, I was doing the podcast and people were digging it, and actually you know, Jim Serpico over at Apostle, you know, it's Dennis Leary's company, he had a general meeting with me. He said, this is a great thing you're doing. Is there anything we can do with it? Like, is there some other thing we can do with it? And I said, well, I got an idea. How about we do a half hour scripted comedy about a guy who interviews celebrities in his garage because he's kind of ruined his life and this is what he's doing. And he said, that's a great idea. And I'm like, well, good. That's the life I'm living. So, yeah,
perfect. Easy enough for me to write.
So yeah. So what was it? It's a little tricky. That stuff, it's weird because people who know me very intimately from the podcast, you know, they have a perception of me. And this is a scripted, you know, comedy, and it is, you know, they're all story driven. And people are like, did that really happen? Is that your life? It's like, these are events. You build on events. Okay. You know, when people say, is it those stories, are they from your life? Your life is filled with events. They don't become stories to you like, well, that happened to me. How do we make it a little more, you know, how do we broaden it?
How do we make it into an interesting story?
Right. The internet troll episode that aired last Friday.
So funny.
That happened, but it didn't happen exactly like that.
What happened? Because this
you
is
actually
this is you.
Him?
This is Mark Maron not being able to take Twitter, you know.
It happened. Like, I try not to engage with them. Well, right. How can you not take it personally? It's at you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what you don't realize is that's those idiots' hobby. It's like, as soon as you go, hey, screw you, they're like, yay, he likes us.
No, but that's what you do know.
Yeah, I do know.
I'm saying,
let me play the... I actually have a clip, Mark, from episode one of the Maron Show, which airs on IFC, by the way. It's playing Friday nights at 10 on the IFC, and then they repeat it, of course, throughout the weekend. But this is a perfect example of... It's hard for me to separate the real Mark Maron and the Mark Maron that you're playing on TV, because it sounds like this could go either way. But here you are reading the tweets that are coming in from this guy that you now hate. You got Dave Foley in this scene, too, the very funny actor from Kids in the Hall, too.
Mark Maron wasn't funny when he was funny, and that was 20 years ago. Mark Maron is sad and draining with his soul-sucking jokes. Some guy on Twitter has been railing on me all day. He calls himself the Dragon Master.
Well, that sounds like a very important job.
They're all cowards. I'm just sick of it. Why should I have to put up with this?
Yeah, you said ignore them.
Shut up, Mark Maron. It's not our fault your parents didn't love you.
That one's actually pretty helpful.
So this does happen to you in real life, because anyone who puts themselves out there on the internet is going to have haters. So
right.
Do you have the same urge that your character did on the show to track these people down and tell them what for?
Or did you once?
Well, that was based on it was a while ago, but it wasn't on Twitter. I don't have the urge to track them down, but I do fight the urge, depending on how I'm feeling in any given moment. I don't want to engage, because that's the idea. So I don't engage with them. They're just trolls. And you know who gets more offended by this than anyone are people that say good things about you. Like, you'll look at 50 good things. 50 good tweets. We love you. We love you. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And one guy
says, where's the bad one?
Yeah, right. One guy says, you suck. And I'm like, why? You know? And the people that like you are like, why don't you answer us? We're saying nice things.
Yeah.
Well, what happened in real life was some dude was basically running a campaign against me on my buddy Tom Sharpling's blog. He was basically saying Mark Maron's a sexist. He's horrible. He was quoting parts of jokes to build his case. And I don't even go to that blog, really. But someone had raised my awareness. And I went over there. And I saw the guy's name. And I saw his avatar on that blog. All right. And it was a specific movie. And I'm like, I'm going to find this guy. So I go on Facebook. I do a search on his name. There's like three or four options. And I start looking at these guys. And I notice that one of them's favorite movie is directly correlates with to the avatar on
Boom,
the other blog.
Got him.
So I message him. I'm like, if you're going to criticize me, don't, you know, use parts of my joke. Use the whole joke. You know, don't be a revisionist just to make your argument.
Right.
And that begun an engagement that lasted about a year.
Oh, my God.
You didn't, 3 months in, you didn't go, I'm not getting anywhere with this guy.
Well, you know, we went back and forth, and I don't know what it is, you know, because there's something, if somebody hates you that much, you know, you obviously, you know, you become their hate muse. There's
right.
something about you.
Right.
And it's usually that they're like you, and they don't want to admit it.
Is that what it is?
I think so. I think that if it's honest and not just some guy trying to get you to react,
right.
but somebody who has deep personal problems, I mean, it's got to be some sort of reflection. I mean, that's how spite works with me.
Sure.
You know,
makes
and,
sense.
But why did I have to campaign and engage
that's
with
hilarious.
This guy for like
but
a
Mark,
year just to get
but,
him to like me? And eventually he said, look, you know, I was going through a bad time. You know, everything's good now.
Oh, so you won.
Well, I guess I won. I mean, you know, we're not having dinner or anything.
But Mark, you know, if you're in the entertainment business as you are and as a comedian, you know that 100% of what you do is never going to connect with people. It's literally impossible to have everyone like you. You have to accept that, right?
Especially,
you understand that.
Especially when you're kind of a dick. I mean, like,
right?
I know that. I mean, I know that in my personal life, it takes a lot to get people to tolerate me. You know, I've been through two wives. All right. Yeah, I mean. But I understand that. And I don't think I want everybody to like me. I just want the people that don't like me to shut up.
All right. Fair enough. Mark Maron is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of the WTF podcast, which is awesome and essential listening. He's got a new show called Maron on the IFC Network Friday nights at 10. And he's written a book as well. We'll tell you how you can see an awesome event that's coming up next week in Hollywood with him and Judd Apatow and tell you all about the book. When we return after this on K-Rock. Comedian, podcast host, and now author Mark Maron in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, before we talk about the book, Mark, I'm very confused about one thing about
yeah.
you. You do the podcast, hugely popular, one of the biggest in the world. You do it from the garage in your home, as we all know.
Yeah.
And so you have Alison Brie in the garage this week.
Oh,
God. How do you let her go? Like, how is she not still in the
he's
garage?
He's not a kidnapper, Bean.
Yeah. No, well, how is this not a Cleveland situation? Yeah. You had Alison Brie in your garage.
I know, man. I'm not, I'm not a kidnapper or a rapist. So I talked to, she was very charming, and it's rare that I get that disarmed.
Yeah,
like, you know, you're really sitting there with somebody, you're like, oh, you're going to be a big movie star.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not a big movie star, then there's something wrong with
right.
the world.
Right. She's flawless. She's so funny and self-deprecating and talented, and she's got great stories. I listened to that episode and she was just amazing, but that's why I'm saying that's where
First of all, my girlfriend was in the house.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And,
yeah,
that can make it difficult.
And you don't want to have to kill her, too. I understand.
And second of all, yeah, I'm a 49-year-old man that's already struggling with the creepy old guy element. So, you know, because you realize, yeah, however I think I'm coming off, I'm just sitting there going, wow, I wish I was younger and had some game
had
in this situation.
Right. She wish I had something she would like.
Yeah. And no, but I actually, I do think my tone changes when I have women in the garage. And
I was going to ask you about that. If it's uncomfortable for you because you're also still a man.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, fortunately, and you guys know this, you've been in this racket a long time. Like, I am impressed with her acting. And it was one of those situations where a lot of times I have people in the garage who I know kind of, you know, whether they're comics or actors, or you at least know their public personality.
Right.
And 99% of the time, I am surprised at who they are in a good way. Like, when they kind of, you see the whole person and they're, you're like, oh my God, I had no idea who you were.
That's why I don't want to meet people that I hate.
Right.
Because
you're going to like them.
Right. And I don't want to like them. I like hating them.
Yeah. I mean, it's always, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't take that away from me.
Right, exactly.
I don't know where else to put my anger. You're the guy. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I was hoping that I didn't come off too kind of like charmed, you know, like, because there were moments there where she was just lovely. And the fact is, it's rare that you see somebody where you're like, oh my God, you exude this talent and you just wish the best for them. You
totally.
Want them to be that movie star.
And they're way better better in person even yes. than you see on the screen.
Oh right. yeah, it was kind of yeah. I didn't get pervy though, right?
Bean, not, you didn't at all. Oh, no, good. Let me just interrupt. Bean has no perv sensor.
Yeah,
I was impressed that Mark made better choices than I would have in the same situations. It was just weird hearing you use words like cute and delightful.
Did I really? Oh, my God.
Let's talk about the book. I love the title. It's called Attempting Normal. It's in stores now and available at Amazon.com. It's from Mark Maron, our guest on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Is this something you've been wanting to write for a long time and now finally is the time? Or did you just get the idea like recently, hey, it's time to write a book?
Well, I've written another book. I wrote a book in like 2001 called The Jerusalem Syndrome, My Life as a Reluctant Messiah. It was based on a one-man show I did. And writing is very difficult. So I was not thrilled to like, I wanted the opportunity, but writing more than anything else, it takes a lot of time, a lot of focus, and you got to sit down.
It's lonely, right?
It's lonely. And also when you have a deadline, when you have a book to write, you feel like you have an incomplete in college. You know, you wake up and you're like, oh my God, yeah. I'm not going to graduate. But a lot of the ideas and a lot of the stuff I've been talking about, I find that when I really sit down to do it, I've got a pretty good tone on the page, and I'm excited by the activity of writing. But it was, you know, kicking and screaming a little bit. But I'm very sure. proud of the book. I'm glad it came together. But it was funny during the process. You know, I had this editor, and I got a book deal because I pitched that book before the podcast took off. It was one of those sort of like, I got to do something.
Right.
You know, I got to put something out in the world. So I went and pitched that book, you know, a book of essays. And, you know, and some of them are really kind of revealing to the point where I'm a little uncomfortable.
Excellent.
Like that chapter on porn and Viagra, I'm not proud of, but I think it's important for people to know that it's out there. The dangers of porn and Viagra are out there, and we enjoy those dangers. So. But you know, I got the opportunity to do it, and I get this editor. You got like a year to do it, right? So I send my first essay to the editor within a month of getting the deal, and he sends it back. It's got edits on it. It's got scribbles on it. In my mind, it should have just said C-, you know, on
right.
it.
Right.
And like, I realized, like,
did it just freeze you?
Well, yeah, in my mind, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to work like this. If we do this with every essay, my confidence is going to be crushed right. four essays right. in. So I basically said to the guy, I said, look, you know, I appreciate everything you did, but I'm not going to talk to you for a year. So I didn't talk to him really, you know, for a year. My editor, you know, he would email me. It's like, how's everything going? I'm like, oh, it's great. Everything's going.
So and it was then, sort of a, I'd yeah. like some input, and you say, leave me alone. Basically, well, that was basically, the undertone.
He was just going to give it all at the end.
Well, that's right.
right.
You know, he yeah. wanted 60,000 words. The day of the deadline, I gave him 90, and I said, all right, now you do your job. You know, there's a book in here. Find it. And you know, he did an amazing job, you know, pulling the essays that worked together. And yeah, I wasn't, you know, there were some I really needed in there. And then there was also the issue of, you know, like I have this woman that I live with who I love dearly. And when you do memoir stuff, you know, it's hard.
They're in there.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they're part of your life. So you really got to say, like, well, is my relationship with my father worth losing to put this in there? And of course, right away with that one, of course it is.
That's a big yes.
Yeah, that's been on the fence for years. But, you know, I had a piece in there about Jessica, you know, who I love. And, you know, and literally, like the week that the thing had to be in, I'm like, okay, you better read these ones that you're in. And she read one.
Were you scared of what would happen?
Well, obviously. I waited till the day before I had to turn in the manuscript.
Was it not just turning it in, but the fact that you were showing her some things that you thought about her that she didn't know?
Well, it was more about this time. There was a time where we broke up for a while and then got back together. And there was, you know, the story of that breakup right after it. And I showed that to her. She's like, you know, you are the victim in this story, and that's ridiculous. You know, this is all from your point of view. I don't like the way you characterize it. And quite frankly, you spun it in a way that really wasn't what happened.
Well, so our answer to that is, well, then write your own book.
No, yeah, no. My answer to that was, do you want it out, honey? Yeah.
He's on number three, remember me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot.
And she's like, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. And literally, it was one of those moments where I think she was right. You know, I learned something there, because when you are doing even point of view comedy, I mean, I've been married twice, and there are jokes that if you're talking about your own life, that it's going to happen. Your wife or your girlfriend's going to say, you know, that was kind of private.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but it's funny. She's like, yeah, but I don't need you talking about my ass like that. You know, so it was really one of these situations where I really believe she was right.
Did you take it out there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Either take it out
right now.
Exactly.
Well, so I took it out. You guys break up, you add that to the second printing of the book. That's what
Supplementary material. Yeah. The Mark, DVD let me, extras.
Let me plug the event because unfortunately we're on a very tight schedule today because Dr. Drew has to be on TV and we need to talk to him next. But let me tell everybody where you're going to be with the great Judd Apatow. Now, he's interviewing you next Wednesday night at the Sabin Theater. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a book event. Well, I'll do some reading and then we'll do some talking.
Cool.
That sounds great. Yeah. It's an awesome event to see in person. Brownpapertickets.com is where you go to buy the tickets for just $25. Students, just $15. Now, will you also be signing copies of the book for people
coming
out that night?
Absolutely. Signing copies of the book, taking pictures. I'll even have dinner with you.
Wow. That sounds great. And the book is very funny, called Attempting Normal. It's available wherever you buy books, of course, including Amazon.com. The podcast is the WTF podcast, which is essential listening. And the show is Marin, which airs Friday nights on the IFC Network. It's all coming together, man. Next time we see you, you're going to be either very depressed or very happy.
Okay, I'll bank on. We'll see what happens.
Right? We'll see what happens. Always great to see you, man. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for hanging out.
Eddie If, talking about Dr. Drew.
I'm convinced, though, Dr. Drew is one of those guys in Cleveland. He's got women.
Really?
I'm convinced. He's too nice. He's too charming. And I think he's gonna Lance Armstrong us all.
I think we all agree with that. Dr. Drew joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Doc, how are you, sir?
You guys always make me feel so good every morning. He was on Love Line last night. Did he say that this morning or yesterday? I wish you
oh,
this
no, it was
morning.
Today. Before. It was today.
Oh, fantastic.
It was today.
Dr. Drew, we've known you for over 20 years. I have never seen you as excited as you were during your HLN show last night that the Jody Arias trial is over. Now, is that because of your excitement over the verdict or because you're just so happy that soon you won't have to talk about it anymore?
Giddy. You'll have to decide for yourself.
Yeah. You were giddy. It was crazy to see. You were bursting at the seams talking about
it. Part of it was I'd been sitting there for 9 hours in front of a camera talking about it all day with Nancy Grace answering, and I was unable to get in what I wanted to say. And I was angry more than anything because I had a lot to say.
Really? Nancy Grace didn't give you a lot of time?
Is that not shocking? Is that not shocking?
God, I hate her, Drew.
No, I don't hate her.
I know. You can't say it, if you did.
She's actually great.
She is the devil.
Well, let's not get sidetracked here on Nancy Grace. So Jody Arias, for folks who haven't been paying attention, is a trial that's been going on for the past couple of months. And Dr. Drew has spent every waking minute talking on television about it. She's a woman who was accused of and has now been convicted of a brutal murder of her boyfriend. It wasn't a surprise that it came back guilty, right, Doc?
Well, guilty was something. I actually was surprised how far they went with the felony charge and the premeditation, because that wasn't that clear. They clearly were not buying any of her BS. She's such a liar. She's such a manipulator. And these guys saw right through it. I had this strange reaction to the whole thing where I'm used to dealing with sick people that do sick things, and I feel bad for them. And
right.
I felt bad for this woman. No excuse, no sympathy, but the whole thing is just so sad.
The part I saw last night of your show was you saying you felt bad for her, and then everybody else jumping on you.
Everybody. A Twitter, 7,000 people attacked. I was afraid to go out at night.
Because and Dr. Drew wasn't saying, he wasn't,
I wasn't defending it. I wasn't
not at all.
And I wasn't. I was satisfied with everything as it was playing out. I was just saying, this is a sad situation. You can see the sadness in this sick woman's eyes. She needs to be away from the rest of us, no doubt, but it's a sad situation.
And what is the empathy you have is for what sickness or circumstance that led her to be a killer? What went wrong with her, doctor?
She the psychological testing showed something that we had speculated since the beginning of the trial, was that she has a borderline personality disorder, which is a common condition. A lot of people have that these days, and it's miserable. You suffer when you have that disorder. Most, they don't become killers. So the question is, why did she have that extra element? And we speculate that she may have psychopathy, and that's what makes her really problematic and needs to be away from the rest of us.
Tell our listeners who weren't with you last night about the interview she gave after the verdict came down and how crazy that was.
She walked out of chambers into a room and plopped down and gave an extensive interview to a local Fox News affiliate. And that's apparently something she had committed to or promised to this guy, because he'd been following it since the beginning. Had talked to her before that if she was convicted of murder one, she would give him. She was so convinced she wouldn't, I think, that she promised an interview. She gave this crazy interview, which was so unsatisfying, where she basically was saying, "Death is the ultimate freedom. I hope the jury gives me my freedom through death."
I do too.
Well, everyone, I think, does.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, I hope the sisters are at peace now, and I hope they remember Travis the way they knew him, because I knew him differently. He's a horrible guy, and he had it coming. It's her BS that is constantly spewing forth.
Yeah.
Even after she was convicted, she couldn't stop throwing barbs. And then she said, psychologist once told me that society needs someone to attack and to sort of focus on.
Right.
I think I'm that person. I'm sort of like Napoleon or Jesus. I'm really important and everybody
right.
needs to hate me.
Right. Wow. Sure. Now, she's, let's face it, she's a liar, a pathological liar. You've pointed out on your show dozens of times that she's lied. Is this some way to send a message to the jury hoping that they will hate her so much that they won't give her the death penalty because she really is afraid of the death penalty and she's just playing them, or what?
It's a fantastic question, and we're trying to use our rational, logical minds to understand what she's up to, but she is so slick and so slippery, who knows, but she is up to something. Let's remember now, she is a very advocate of the secret, so she just has positive mental attitude.
Oh, there you go. She's envisioning it.
That's been operating here all the way along, so she's obviously doing something that she wants to have some specific outcome that the secret has taught her. All she has to do is think about it, and it will happen.
Dr. Drew, I know that you're short on time. I would like to ask one question, though, and that's in the 2 months of covering the Jodi Arias trial. Those that didn't see it, they showed a lot of video of her in the holding cell when she was being questioned by police, and then the police would leave and she was singing and standing on her head. And I'm not kidding when I tell you, Dr. Drew, at one point in the coverage, was standing on his head.
Not only was I.
Why?
That happened.
Well, first of all, Bean, I've never heard you laugh with such
glee. I can't believe that. I would love to have seen that one.
No, it's on our website, I think. But it's not just me. It was my entire staff lined up along a hallway all on our head just to see what kind of relaxation we
That's
got.
That's how
that.
You know you're out of things to talk
yep.
about when you start
That's
standing
it.
On your head.
That's
By the
moment.
Way, and I'll leave you with this, Dr. Drew, and you can think about this as you go about your another 12 hours of interviews on this case today. I watched Diane Sawyer's news on ABC last night, her half-hour newscast. They got to the Jodi Arias verdict 17 minutes into the newscast and spent 20 seconds on it. That was the extent of their coverage. How are you feeling about what you're doing on Headline News now?
Well, they didn't need to because we've been giving such extensive quality
coverage. Yeah, that's true. You're taking care of it. That's for sure.
We're carrying the crucible.
Are you happy to be able to talk about other things now?
Yeah, I actually want to talk about that Ohio guy. That's the sickest.
I do, too. We'll save that for next week. Yeah. Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6, of course, here on Loveline every 5 nights a week with our good friend Psycho Mike. Get to the TV, Dr. Drew. Thanks for squeezing us in today, sir.
Thanks, everybody.
Got to tell you, there's one person who we're always a little nervous about asking to do showbiz.
That's Lisa May?
No.
That's Omar.
Beer mug?
Oh, no. It's not Omar time, is it?
You know what I mean?
It's not going to be the Poobiz report. All right.
Have your finger on the button as Omar fills in for Ralph Garman this hour. And by the way, coming up next here on the Kevin DeBean Show, we're going to talk to the editor of Maxim magazine, and we have one question for him. And that is, how is Miley Cyrus number one on the hottest 100 women, and Kate Upton is number 8? How does
Christ.
That happen?
Seriously.
So we'll talk to Dan coming up on perhaps his final appearance on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, here's DJ Omar Khan.
What's happening, Lops? wow. Jean Cooper's dead, Kevin.
Who?
Jean Cooper from Young and the Restless. She died at 84 yesterday.
Okay.
Are you bummed out?
I don't know who that
She's
is.
She's Corbin Burnson's mom?
Yes,
exactly.
In real life, she is.
How do you know that?
I heard it this morning.
What the hell?
How does she know that?
But yeah, she's 84. She was on the Young and the Restless for like 20 years or something like that, like for insane. She does some good work. Here's a clip.
He used you. He used you like a common whore.
That's her?
That's on TV. Huh. It's insane, like all the stuff that she went through the series. She lost 4 husbands, a child, and even had a lesbian fling.
Oh, right.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I'm a fan of the soap operas.
You are?
Oh, back when I was like 13, I would rush home. I would catch a little Days of Our Life, have a little sexy time with myself. Oh,
whoa.
Yeah, dude.
You are
yeah.
a weird little
I really,
kid.
Well, it was like softcore porn.
And
I didn't have
put
access
on your
to the
eyeliner.
Real stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was awesome.
What's information is, man?
I did not want to think about Omar sexy time today.
I'm telling you. Okay, Chris Brown's a dick, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Moving on.
So he lives in Hollywood, the Hollywood Hills, and he has this big block wall in front of his house.
Right.
And the cops were investigating to see who tagged it up, because somebody tagged it up with this awful mural type deal.
It's not well done.
It's not. It's awful.
Some of that tagging you look at and you go, wow, that guy's an artist.
Yeah, and this is not that.
Right.
So Chris Brown did it. Photos on TMZ.com.
He did it?
He did it himself.
He did it himself. So now the L.A. is going to fine him. They fine him like $300, but if he doesn't take it off within 30 days, they could fine him up to $1,000. And I'm thinking, that's it? Really? Death penalty.
Death penalty.
The guy's a dick. You know who also says a dick?
Who?
Rob Kardashian.
Yes, he is.
He's got charged with battery and petty theft because he broke a paparazzi's camera.
Oh, and I didn't hear this story.
He should be happy they took his picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody pays attention to him.
And he threw it, so they charged him with petty theft and battery, but I think death penalty.
Okay. All right.
Two
wow, when Omar's running things, man, it's going to be different in this world.
Absolutely.
Crime will be down.
Justin Bieber's also in the news.
Death penalty?
Hey, dude, wait for the punchline, man.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. DA is deciding if he's going to prosecute him for allegedly spitting in his neighbor's face and threatening to kill him.
I hope so.
Right?
Yeah, that'd be
death
awesome.
Death penalty.
Yes, death penalty.
Here's Justin Bieber's response.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
Yeah, he's an angry little kid.
He is.
And he's so skinny, he's not going to beat anybody up.
Not a person.
I hope he really does get the death penalty. You know who else needs the death penalty?
Who?
Carson Daly.
What are you talking
what?
About?
We love Carson.
Carson Daly's a big fat cheater.
What?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, a couple nights on the Voice, they had to withdraw the votes because the voting system that they used got tampered with.
I did hear that somebody hacked in. Yes, somebody hacked in.
And you think it was Carson?
And Carson Daly's a big fat cheater. He wanted.
I don't think he had anything to do with that. He's just the host of the show.
Oh, you heard things wrong. I did my research. He wants some hot chick to win, probably.
There's one thing we know about you, and it's that you don't do your research.
I have reliable sources on the street, man. So, death penalty.
Death penalty?
Yep, death penalty for Carson. Wow. There'll be a lot fewer celebrities left in the world once Omar's done.
You know who else needs the death penalty?
Who?
Deadmau5.
Why?
Because, well, like, first of all, the guy's a dick.
Okay.
And he looks like he's on crack.
Right.
But he's also producing Kat Von D's new album. I don't know if it's just a track or the whole album.
Right.
But yesterday he released a little demo version on SoundCloud.
Yep.
You be the judge. We build it up to fall apart and see the end before it starts. Okay.
I like Kat Von D.
I don't hate that.
Hey, I'm not talking about Kat Von D. I'm talking about that.
That didn't...
It wasn't terrible.
That was fine.
Really?
Yeah.
You're an ass. Death penalty.
Okay.
For Deadmau5 and Kevin?
For both of them.
It?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about Kat Von D?
I'm not going to give her the death penalty. She's okay. She's pretty hot, so
wow,
I'll give her the pass.
I got thrown to the death penalty in front of her.
Yeah. All right, celebrity birthdays. We got actress Candice Bergen is 67, Billy Joel 64, Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode is 51, Ghostface Killah of the Wu-Tang Clan is 43, Rosario Dawson is 34, and my favorite, and the artist with the most range in the world, Andrew W.K. I mean, his music is like just about so many different topics.
That's true.
The range of music that he does, you know, I had to compose a little montage to kind of give you a taste of what his music's about.
A lot of range.
Wouldn't it be funny if he doesn't party on his birthday?
Sat on the couch.
Hangs out, smokes a cigarette. I'm not Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Hey, what about that guy who won that thing, Kevin?
I wish I still had that information on the screen. That would be cool. K-Rock listener Xavier, I want to say Sanchez.
Correct.
Okay.
Well done.
Just won the tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast and backstage passes. You could win them all day long here on K-Rock from now until 8 p.m. Sad, right?
It is sad. We've had a good relationship, a mutually healthy, beneficial relationship with our friend Dan Bova, the editor of Maxim Magazine. We always enjoy having him on a couple times a year. Enjoyed. Yeah, don't enjoy him anymore. Enjoyed. Well, we used to have him on. We used to be able to just, you know, be some guys and just sit around and shoot the breeze about hot chicks as they put out their list, their much anticipated list. Last year, remember how much fun we had talking about how great Bar Raffaele was at number one? Remember?
Oh.
And Olivia Munn and Mila Kunis and Katy Perry and all the great gals on the list. But then this year something bad happened. And Dan is paying off a drug dead, or there's blackmail photos.
Maybe
or...
he was hospitalized while this list was being compiled.
Maybe he wasn't involved. Maybe we ought to give him a chance to explain. But somehow something tragic happened, and a dude ended up at number one, and we don't know what happened.
Dan, let us just ask you our one question, and depending on your answer, we can continue or not.
All right.
The number one person on Maxim Magazine's Hot 100 list for this year, Miley Cyrus?
Is it Miley Cyrus?
That's my question to you. Because if it is, we're done.
Well, we're going to give...
Why don't we just talk about something else for a little while then?
I want to give Dan the opportunity to explain himself. So do not hang up on our guest.
There's no explaining. Is it true or not? One or
not? I want to hear what he has to say. First of all, I want to hear you admit it. I want to hear you have the strength to admit that you put her at number one.
Oh, I happily and proudly proclaim to the world that this year Miley Cyrus is the number one person on the Maxim Hot 100 list.
All right. It's been good talking to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Dan, look, you told us that there's a lot of arguing that goes on in the newsroom when you guys put these lists together, and everybody has different tastes, and we could all quibble about whether Katy Perry is hotter than Beyonce, and arguments like that are going to happen. But how did Miley make the Hot 100, much less at number one?
Wow. Well, here's the thing. Every year, well, actually, for the past 2 years, we've put it to the readers. We had a
you liar.
Online.
Let him finish.
He's a liar. You're a liar.
Listen, I do take a lot of drugs, but it had nothing to do with this decision. she won by a landslide, guys. She has fans. Every time she puts a video out of herself twerking or some crazy thing, people go bananas. People cannot get enough of her, and I promise you, the shoot she did for us is going to change your mind.
Nope.
Okay, let me ask you this. Look, we all know how the internet works, and we all have seen contests go awry because people get on and, you know, they, like you said, they mobilize their fan base, and I know that's the intent, but you don't want little girls, 13-year-old girls who love Miley Cyrus to be on the internet voting 1,000 times for her on a list that has no relevance to them at all.
Right. Well, no, it didn't go down like that. It wasn't so lopsided that something screwy happened. In fact,
she shouldn't be number one.
I think, Kevin, you've got about 2 million votes, and so that seemed weird.
Sure. We just discounted that right but that was away. Just for me.
Yeah.
Okay, let me put it another way, Dan, because I'm trying to take – I respect you as a human. I'm trying to take what you're saying at face value. So let me put it another way. Is Miley Cyrus – more attractive than number 8, Kate Upton?
Is she more attractive
than number 8, Kate Upton?
They are both beautiful women. I think they both have their obvious strengths. I think this is the year. Miley's turning 21 this year. We've watched her grow from the Disney child to someone who wears a crazy unicorn costume and twerks
but look,
for all of us to see. So, I mean, there's that element of it, too. It's not 100% what you look like, but it's like who you are and what do you mean something to people.
I get that. She's an eminently watchable celebrity. She does interesting things. She has – I get that. I totally get that.
And that guarantees her a spot in the Hot 100. Now, you tell me that she is that much hotter than Selena Gomez. I'm going to read the other top 10. Selena Gomez, Rihanna, Mila Kunis, Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Ashley Tisdale, Kate Upton, Vanessa Hudgens, Alicia Cuthbert. Number 11 is Katy Perry. You're telling me she's hotter than all of those girls?
Well,
I'm telling you, no, sir.
Like the U.S. Constitution is a living document.
Unless it changes in the next 5 minutes.
No. So Katy Perry has been number one.
Right.
So everyone has their year. And this was Miley's year. I'm telling you guys. Did you guys vote?
No.
No.
Well, then, you know, you can't complain
about it. Of course we can. That's an absurd, ridiculous thing.
Were you disappointed when Miley, who you did this tremendous favor, this gift that you gave her to put her on this list at number one, were you disappointed when she then stole the thunder of your announcement by tweeting it last week?
No, it was fine. She's, you know, she's very excited to.
She should be really excited, Dan.
Number one.
I mean,
we were excited to have
her. That was a gift.
Premature tweeting is a problem that affects many of us. I'm sure it's affected you guys. So,
well, she is not as attractive as Kate Upton's dog. You know that, right?
I have not seen Kate Upton's dog, but I'm standing by this, guys.
Bean, tell Dan we're done with him.
Oh, man.
Tell him.
I thought we had something here.
We did.
I feel like this is...
Are you guys coming to the party?
Nope. Oh, hold on a sec. When's the party? Hold on a sec. When's that happening? Before we cut ties, Kevin, let's find out about the party.
Yeah. Might change your tune here, but next week in L.A., the Hot 100 party, I got a seat lined up for you.
Yeah.
Right next to me. You
and
can yell at me all
Miley
night.
Cyrus is just going to be there only?
What's that?
Is Miley Cyrus going to be the only one there?
There's going to be a ton of people from
Is
the
Kate
list,
Upton going to be there?
Well, I can't divulge all
Well, then I can't divulge whether I'm going or not.
Let me throw out a couple. I know that the point was to embarrass Dan, and I think we've done that for his his clearly wrong-headed
That's
number one
That's not my
pick.
Point. My point was to cut ties.
But I do have to throw in a couple things about the list. First of all, talking about the Maxim 100, the issue is available on is it out now for people to buy, Dan?
So you could check out the whole list at Maxim.com, and when in probably a week or so, you could buy it on the newsstand. And there's even more pictures of Miley in there. So
thank God.
That's going to be great.
Oh, thank God. I do want to give a mention to number 69 on the list just here. Kevin, I don't know if you saw that far, but Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend is number 69.
That was very funny.
On the list.
You know, of all the women who made an impact in pop culture this year, I think the Invisible Woman really.
Absolutely.
You know, that was the story. And I mean, as you see, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but we do have an exclusive picture of the Invisible Woman.
Yeah, it's very funny. There's
relaxing on the beach.
There's just a bikini. That's it. You can't see a person. Just a bikini.
And let me mention one more. The woman who got President Obama in so much trouble earlier this year, California Attorney General Kamala Harris, made the list.
Yes.
She's number 54. She's the hottest attorney general in the country, according to the president. However, is she hotter than Stana Katic and Amber Heard and Eva Mendes and Brittany Palmer? I think not, good sir. I think not.
Wow, we're our loins just don't match up.
They don't light up.
That
I guess not.
Is for sure.
All right. Well, you can take it or leave it. But there's your Maxim 100 list. Go to maxim.com to see the complete list and a terrific photo. I will say there are some spectacular photos in this year's issue. You certainly did a great job with the first 99 names on this list. Thank you, Dan Bova. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Garman has taken a couple of days off to go film a part in a movie for Seth MacFarlane. I think we talked about it this time yesterday, A Million Ways to Die in the West. So in the meantime, we are taking turns filling in on the showbiz. But this is the report I've been looking forward to all hour long, all day long. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Kat Corbett has joined us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
Sorry we made you get up 15 minutes earlier than usual.
Whatever. I didn't sleep all night. I was afraid I was going to miss this. The worst sleep of my life.
You have to learn to not care if you show up.
I guess.
That's what works for us.
And I can't beat Omar's last showbiz beat. I just want to say that.
Death penalty
up.
For everybody is pretty tough to beat. Now, Kat doesn't like that sound effect, so we don't use that one. We use the noise she made when we called her at South by Southwest. That's what we use for her showbiz.
Well, many of you, like myself, have been addicted to this whole Jodi Arias trial that's been going on. And, you know, she got convicted of first-degree murder for...
Hey, spoiler alert!
Whatever,
it's not a TV show.
Oh, sorry.
Actual trial.
I was going to watch that on DVD when it came out.
But it's over. And so what I'm telling you is you have to turn on HLN and watch Nancy Grace.
Oh, I hate her so much.
She is a horrible...
Bombshell tonight.
Bombshell tonight.
Death penalty.
Bombshell tonight.
She's the worst.
But it's like crack watching her because
she's... Bombshell tonight.
She's terrible and she's so like
upset and into it, and her nose is all stuffed up because she's been crying.
Don't you want to shoot your TV?
Oh my God.
I can't help it that between her and Jane Velez Mitchell, which I can't figure out if that's a really bad wig or not on her.
No, she just has very big Hispanic hair. Yes. That's all that's going on with Jane. And Jane, I think Jane is very good on HLM, by the way. I think she's a really good reporter. I like her.
I do not.
Well, what I'm saying
I've watched her a lot on this report.
The sentencing phase is going on, and it's starting today. So, you know, crazy Jody's begging for the death penalty.
Give it to her.
We had this discussion with Dr. Drew, who also, as you know, has spent thousands of hours talking about this case on HLN. And we were debating whether Jody really does want the death penalty and she's not lying to us for once, or if she's trying to play some sort of psych out job with the jury, hoping that they'll not want to give her what she says she wants and instead she'll get life in prison, which is what she really wants.
I go with B because she is a sociopath.
Yeah.
And, you know, but also yesterday she, after her post, post-show interview.
Yeah, post-show.
post-conviction interview. She, you know, was going down the line of that her attorney had hidden evidence, and
I didn't realize you were going to...
Bombshell tonight.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
She's trying to set up an appeal, which you automatically get if there's death penalty, but...
Yes. That's what I'm saying. But it's just crazy business. So just turn it on if you want to watch some TV today.
Bombshell tonight.
This Jody Arias is so hideous and such a terrible person. I'm surprised she didn't make the Maxim Hot 100 list.
I am so with you guys on that Miley thing.
That was ridiculous.
All right, moving on. So I'd like to thank TMZ for this DUI story. Okay. Do you guys know who Mr. Marcus is?
Yeah!
Mr. Marcus?
No.
Who's he?
He's a member of the Porn Star Hall of Fame.
Who knew?
Well,
except for mugs.
He's also the star of Fat Ass White Booty 6.
Oh, that was...
I stopped Lisa watching May? At 4.
Of course.
I didn't watch 6 because I missed 5 and I was afraid I wouldn't be able to catch up.
He was pulled over for a DUI. Shame on you. He's also... His resume is outstanding. He was also the source of the famous porn star syphilis scare of 2012.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this guy.
He's
like marriage material.
He is, yeah.
I didn't realize, Kat, thank you for turning me on to Mr. Marcus. He also starred in Manhammer 7.
Oh, I need to watch the Manhammer series.
It got good about 3, from 3 on.
Is that like Mansquito? Is that the same thing? All right, and I'm just going to keep up with the body parts on showbiz. The final story of the day, the Daily Mail UK is reporting that the Rolling Stones' new tour, it all hinged on Keith Richards apologizing to Mick Jagger.
Not dying?
For writing in his autobiography that Mick has a very small penis.
Really?
The entire
There was a real rift that went on for several years, right, Kat?
Yeah, well, because the book came out a couple years ago, and then there's a quote in the book that that Keith wrote. It said, Marianne Faithfull had no fun with his tiny dodger.
But if you're Mick Jagger, hasn't, you know, a tenth of the world seen your wiener?
Yes.
I mean, really, doesn't everybody pretty much know?
Doesn't seem to matter.
But you're also,
Yeah.
Also terminally 13.
I guess.
You're just stamping your feet because someone put in print that you have a tiny ranker.
Ridiculous.
Right. And he also took CeCe's virginity on New Girl, remember, Mick Jagger.
I don't think
you guys didn't see last week's episode?
No. I did, but I don't recognize the reference.
Yeah, Mick Jagger took CeCe's virginity. That was one of the plot lines of the show last week.
Spoiler alert.
Bean is more of a girl than you and I.
I know.
No
I mean,
question
that
about that.
Bombshell tonight.
Let's move on to birthdays, shall we? Producer, director James L. Brooks is 76. He makes me laugh a lot. Actress Candace Bergen, 67. Billy Joel, 64. Favorite Billy Joel songs? Anybody?
None.
Oh, Piano I like Man. A lot. I like a lot of Billy Joel songs. Mm-hmm. I love Only the Good Die Young. That's one of my favorites for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's a good one, Bean. All right. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode. Hi. He's 51. Ghostface Killah from Wu-Tang, 43. Rosario Dawson, 34. And Andrew, who likes to party hard, WK, is also 34. And that is the Showbiz Beats.
Kat Corbett.
Yay.
Kat Corbett.
Oh, thanks, guys. I didn't even know anything else.
Well done. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Benedict Cumberbatch, who's the bad guy in Star Trek, Into Darkness.
Okay.
And, Kat, the chicks love him, right?
I don't know who that is.
Wow.
I believe
I am more of a girl than you are.
I think you would from his picture, though. I think you would recognize him.
Do you have a picture up?
No.
Damn it.
Bob Saget will be in. Funny man Bob Saget. We have tickets for Game 6 of the Los Angeles Kings playoffs, which is tomorrow night. They could actually clinch and beat St. Louis and move on.
Okay.
And we have tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast and backstage passes as well. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and